Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
First and foremost, sorry for the delay, everybody. It's January 20th. Today's guest, Christina Pajinski. Go to BirdBirdBird.com for all the bird news.
This is the Birdcast.
All right. It started, Push.
This is how unprofessional you are. Is it you that's unprofessional or me that started it while you were across the room?
Well, that too. I have to get my alcohol and my cell phone. Okay. Those are my priorities. So we've got two games going on.
Tom always tweets me pictures of him and says that I look like him.
Yeah, that's you. That's black football playing Bert.
That does not look like me at all.
Totally black Bert, yeah.
Who's it, Terrell Suggs?
I think I know the guy's name. I don't know shit about football. What team? I don't even know what we're watching.
Baltimore.
What is this?
It's Baltimore. I'm going to post this tonight.
Oh, okay, good.
Because I'm backlogged. This podcast shit is fucking exhausting.
It is. It's a commitment.
It is a commitment. It's a commitment to fucking locking down locking down friends to come to your house and fucking force them to drive into the valley.
Oh, that's the worst part of it.
Force them to park on the street and then force them to sit in my man cave and fucking talk to me for fucking an hour.
I think having your dog jump on me is the scariest part,
though. The dog's been the hardest part of this podcast.
How much do you hate your dog now, or do you still like it?
Oh, I love my dog. I love my dog, but here's the problem. I'm fucking turn the TV off because I will
it's
look over so your shoulder.
It's so distracting, to look at black Bert, to look at your black self.
Watch this. Don't hit the power. That. And it just, everything There's, shuts down.
Such a good room for you.
It's such a great room.
This is your essence. This
no, I you. Love the dog. This is what's been frustrating about the dog is that it fucking loves Leanne like a million times more than it loves me.
Oh, everybody does, of course.
But the dog, and I just realized it's only because Leanne feeds it.
That is not only
it's
why.
The only fucking reason these animals love her is because she feeds all of them. The girls don't feed them. So they look to her like, you're my lifeline. Like, if I...
You don't think it's because she nurtured it from the time it was a pup?
She did.
I'm going to take
she
my
did.
Boots off. I hate having shoes on.
She did.
She suckled it and nurtured that thing.
She's fucking so unhealthy with animals. She's so unhealthy. The dog gets up on the... If I let the dog in right now, she would stand up on this.
Yeah.
And she would stand up on the couch, and then she would get up on you and literally stand in your lap. And it's because the second she does that, Leanne goes, oh, this is my teacup bull mastiff. And Priscilla thinks it's cute. So you have a fucking 120-pound dog
huge.
Standing on human... It's like if Leanne goes, oh, just let me climb on you real quick.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. Yeah. So the dog's horribly behaved.
It's a shitty dog. Let's be honest. It's kind of shitty.
The greatest thing about the dog is that the fucking second... She scares the living shit of anyone out of anyone that comes up to our front door. Because she sits on the couch and stares out the window all day long. And if she sees you, she just... I mean, she barked one night and she woke the whole fucking house up because she heard something. And it was just our cat. You know what's so funny?
It's so menacing.
On the first podcast I did, I told a story to Tom that I had to edit the podcast because I'd never done a podcast before. And I thought, I'll just put in, I'll edit the goodbye show. Now I'm just going to fucking leave it in. There's no point to edit a fucking podcast.
Don't edit your podcast.
There's
Can
no
I tell
reason.
You? Because people really like the moments of chaos and fuck-uppery.
I thought they wouldn't. I edited out Tom, Joey saying goodbye to everyone in the man cave because Joey left.
Yeah.
And he said goodbye to everyone. And it took forever because Joey.
And can you believe he's a dad, by the way?
I can't believe he's a dad. I can't believe it via our phone conversations.
What do you mean? You talk to him on the phone?
Yeah, I talk to him every day.
Oh, because he'll call Tommy every now and then, too.
Oh, he calls me. I talk to Joey every single day.
What do you guys talk about?
But everything. Joey's like, he became a therapist to me. I started going to therapy. You remember I told you I went to therapy.
Tell me everything.
I started going to therapy because I was having, let's just say, broad stroke relationship issues with other people. And...
said that. Okay. Broad stroke relationship issues with everybody.
I was having a problem with boundaries and allowing people.
Oh, I have that constantly.
Yeah, with people. I was allowing people to take advantage of me in ways that I shouldn't have, and I should have stood up
every
for my
day, all day.
And
me so too, I was like,
And I was having issues with, this is all stuff. Mind you, this is a conversation I had with Joey. So
okay.
People, I think sometimes people think Joey is not, I think they think he's deep, but they think he's like a roadside prophet. Like he just doesn't have any, like, you know, like.
Like a homeless person?
Like, yeah, like the Joey, like he's just like that tough love, that Dr. Phil, but from the streets.
Right.
So, but I told Joey all this because he's my friend. And so I told him, you know, I told him everything that I won't talk about on this, but, and then I was also having problems with identity, for my own identity, because I felt like I was spread in so many different places and I didn't really know who I was. And I went to like this therapist and it was like fucking $400 an hour.
What?
It's so expensive.
Yo, you gotta go to my lady. She's way cheaper than that.
Yeah. This guy was awesome. And so I talked to the therapist and he kind of told me, you know, what I needed to work on. And then I talked to Joey and Joey goes, fuck your therapist, dog. I'll tell you what to do.
Oh, no.
So every day, this is when I was doing the cleanse too. I was losing weight, every day I went and had coffee with Joey every morning. It was actually a green tea. And I would tell him what's going on. I'd be very candid about what my feelings were about everything that was going on. And he fucking literally was my therapist. Like, I mean, but it was just, Pete Corielli once said this. He was just friends. It was just friends. And
I got to talk to Joey Diaz more.
Oh, he's the best. Your husband's pretty good, too. I use Buns constantly.
So do I. I think I married him.
I abused that dude.
Yeah, he's the only calm person in my life who's really rational, has great advice,
awesome.
Is a good person.
And he'll listen to you.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he has a hard time cutting you off because I'll talk to his fucking ear off about everything. I mean, like shit that I wouldn't tell. I wouldn't tell anybody. I wouldn't even share. Call him and tell him all the time. But when that shit went down this week, I talked to you about it, and I called him like 3 times, and you know he never answers his fucking phone.
He was in Baltimore.
Yeah.
In all fairness, like sleeping all day.
He's in Baltimore right now.
He's flying home from Baltimore right now.
Okay. So I called him like 3 times, and then I guess he talked to you and found out why I was calling.
Yeah, and then I told him what happened.
And he called, and I wish I could tell you guys. I can tell you guys. I left my agent. Matt Frost. He was
say no more though. Yeah. I wouldn't go into it.
I know, but I just you know.
But it's devastating.
It was devastating because he was a great friend. It was just a move I needed to make, and it was just it's one of those things that you. It's a grown up fucking decision.
It's a scary.
He was he's been with me 15 years, and he helped me get. It was a loyalty thing. It was, he was my friend, and he was loyal to me, and he cared. And
but, buddy, that's where the boundary shit comes into play, especially people like you and me. We want to be the good people. We want to be loyal. We want people to love us, and I think we blur business and friendship, and that's the danger with managers and agents. It's like you want to believe that this person cares for you totally and will take care of all your needs. It's like the parent fantasy, you know?
And I went, you know. It sucked. We went through it with
I know. Don't say his name.
Okay.
With someone mutual. It was terrible.
Well, it's the worst part of this fucking business is that you form these relationships with people that are probably unhealthy.
Totally unhealthy. Totally unhealthy.
I mean,
totally wrong.
Totally wrong.
Totally.
And then like people's livelihoods not depend. Like trust me when I say Matt Frost is going to be completely fine. He's a fucking huge agent at one of the biggest agencies in the in the world. He makes a dickload of money.
Right.
He is fine. But he was my friend. But the business wise, I need to do it. I'm very happy that I did it. I'm very happy with where I went.
Yeah.
I can say where I am now, right?
That's
weird to even say, but yeah, but they listen to the podcast. So guys, I know you're listening.
No.
I know you're listening. I talked to them on the phone about it. I was like, I know what the right decision is. It's just very impossible to execute, you know? So it was like, but Judy.
What?
She's fucking awesome.
She's amazing.
I would want to say she's an aggressive. She just is a fucking gangster.
Can I tell you what I had with her? This is so unhealthy. I talked about this in therapy because I have really bad mommy issues, as you know. And
so does my wife.
Right. So that's why we connected immediately, Leanne and I. But so I have real bad. I don't have a relationship with my mom. So I went to Judy's house for a Christmas get together. I don't know if you're invited to that.
I was invited, but I was out of town. Yes.
Whatever. I went. It was amazing.
She's the best fucking. Judy is both our managers, just so everyone's like, who the fuck's Judy?
Yeah.
Judy's our manager. And she is an amazing cook.
And not only that, we went to her home And it was like the childhood I never had. You know, when you walk in, yeah. It was like Christmas tree and there's a dog and there's wreaths and lights. And I
fucking
immediately.
Old friends? Yeah. She's got old friends. She's got friends that are like 70, which is, you're like, how the fuck do you know this person? Yeah. Just asleep on the couch.
Just fun.
Yeah. It was love. Alan. Was Alan Chamberlain there?
Yeah, of course.
Alan and I toured on the road for like two years.
Super nice, fun, normal, down to earth. And immediately the fantasy was, I want this woman to be my mom. I want her to adopt
that's
me.
So unhealthy.
It's so unhealthy.
You know what's so funny is I used to think, I'm making sure I'm recording real quick.
Oh my gosh, please say
yes. Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
Yeah. I so wanted her to be my mom. Ugh.
I had father issues.
Yeah. That's your comic issue, would you say, is your dad?
I think every comic has some sort of parental issue. My dad never finds me funny. He never laughs at anything I say. I could tell him a joke. Like he goes, he heard this joke I've been telling, and he goes, why do you even fucking talk like that? Right. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, listen, buddy, you gotta.
He calls you buddy?
If I'm telling you, when he dies, he's gonna die, and whenever I have business shit, I call him right away. I talk to him about it, and he always starts off the same way, buddy, here's what you gotta do. That's how he starts everything off, buddy. And when he dies, and I go through something, and I'll be thinking about him,
yeah.
I guarantee you I'll hear his voice in my head, buddy. Super easy. Listen, you need fucking. He just thinks I'm a mess. He's like, you need fucking insurance because you're gonna have a goddamn stroke, okay? And you're not gonna be able to speak, and no one's gonna want to see you drool on stage. And you need to support these girls, buddy. You need to get some disability insurance right now. Like I'm telling you, like right now. Then he's like,
that's smart though. But that's smart. My parents know nothing about nothing. Like my dad is, you know, they're foreigners. My dad has like a forklift business. He doesn't know shit about like showbiz.
Wait,
things,
your dad?
You know?
My dad goes, buddy, here's what you got to do. Yeah. And then your dad is.
Oh, Kristika. Kristika. Oh, Kristika, come on. Oh, this fucking bullshit. He curses a lot. I saw him today.
Kristika?
Kristika, yeah, that's my Hungarian.
Kristika?
Kristika, yeah.
Why wouldn't you just take that?
What do you mean?
That's so much better than Christina.
My
Kristika
Hungarian.
Is fucking a great name.
Kristika.
Speaking of names, I was at Captain Brian's and I forget.
Oh. Can we talk about Captain Brian?
Yes, but I in a positive light because I love Brian.
I love Brian too.
But like
Captain Brian himself, we're talking
Brian
about.
Brian is fucking hilarious. I made fun of him on stage with his parents in the crowd.
Yeah, his parents go to all the shows like two of the shows.
And I said because he talks to guys like he's in, like we're in eighth grade. No. Like there was a famous girl at my show, Leighton Meester, something. Huh? I don't know her name. She's on Gossip Girls.
Oh, okay.
But she was at my show. And I found that out after the show. And then, of course, I didn't care. I had no care. I was ready to go home.
Yeah.
And someone says someone's famous at your show and you get excited. Like, all of a sudden, I'm this shallow fuck who's never watched Gossip Girls a day in his life.
Right.
But then now I'm going to go recognize her. Like, because they pointed her out. Georgia. Gee, I swear to God, they're going to fucking try to come in here.
She's like swinging her racket.
So I go over to her and then I talk to her and Brian sees it and he goes, what the fuck? Why the fuck would you do that?
Oh yeah, that's
why
totally
the fuck
his
would
voice.
You do that?
Yeah.
Oh, are you trying to porka? I said, what? He goes, you trying to porka?
Yeah, everything's said, sexual.
Yeah,
Captain
goes,
Brian.
Are you trying to porka? Are you gonna get a BJ? It's like fucking like fucker or blowjob, not BJ and porker. And then I hung out with a bunch of lesbians and he goes, oh, would you hang out with those lesbos? Like, I love
Brian. You know, he's a legit captain, and he has
he literally
captain's
is. He had a very
certificate.
Georgia, baby, stop it.
He has a certificate that says he's a captain of the sea.
He was a very successful, very successful charter fisherman.
Yeah. Like, has he told you his stories about what kind of fish to eat and what not to eat at restaurants? It'll horrify you.
The best part, though, is the dude, I forget, I'm horrible with names, one of the guy who runs the sound booth. Goes, man, you got one of those tough names.
And you?
Hold on. He goes, yeah. You, and there's another person that I could not pronounce her name. Kristen Pajutsky. And I went, you mean Christina Pajinsky? And he goes, yeah. And I go, it's pretty simple. When she says it, you just got to remember what it sounds like. And he goes, yeah. Swear to God, I'm sitting by the bar. And he goes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, your headliner, Brett Kaiser. I swear to God. The whole weekend he said Brett Kaiser.
The Jewish
and I was like,
comedian.
And I pulled him aside at the end of the week. I go, maybe you're dyslexic. Like, maybe it's you and not us.
Yeah, maybe you're fucking
stupid. Maybe you can't read the names right. But, Brian, I love doing Captain Brian's. But I will tell you, some of the toughest shows I've had in a long time.
Oh, me, you just juggle your nuts up there for an hour. It's so hard.
It's New York.
Is that how hard New York comedy is?
That's why the people that murder that fucking room are Rich Voss, Bobby Kelly.
Right.
Like, anyone that started New York destroys that room. Because it's New York's the same way. It's like people... I remember when I worked in New York, that's the poster of the Boston Comedy Club. I would bring in people off the streets that had fucking groceries in their hands.
Oh.
And they'd sit in the front row with groceries. I remember putting a dude's ice cream in the freezer so his ice cream didn't melt. And he sat with fucking groceries. I never forget one time there was this Puerto Rican couple, dude and his chick. And I go, listen, you may not want to... They go, comedy show? And I go, yeah, you may not want to go in there because they're smoking. And they're like, really? And I said, yeah, because she's pregnant. And this Puerto Rican guy looked like he got so excited. He goes, oh, shit. This is on. This is going to happen. And she went, what the fuck did you say? You said I'm pregnant? I'm fucking, let me tell you something, motherfucker. And I was like, sorry. I never forget the look on the Puerto Rican guy's face. He was like, oh, shit. Like he was in high school and someone yelled fight. Like he was like, oh, shit. He just said my bitch is pregnant. I don't know what accent I'm doing, by the way. But
that's a harsh room because I had a woman come in pajamas and then she fell asleep 5 minutes into my set. And then afterwards, her and her friends were like, that's a great show. I'm like, yeah, but why'd you bring your friend in the PJs? And they're like, oh, she wanted to go to bed, but we woke her up and dragged her out of bed and made her come to the show. And I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's a tough room.
I had some really bad, not bad. I will say I definitely had one bad one.
Yeah.
But like, I had some uphill battle shows.
They're all. Well, because the kitchen's right there in the showroom, so you're competing with the kitchen with, like, them mixing drinks.
Yeah. No Mexican jokes, because there's no one of color on that entire island except in the kitchen. The kitchen is bilingual as fuck.
Right.
And so, but here's the crazy part about that, what am I about to say? I feel like I'm having a stroke. What were you just saying?
You should get insurance.
Oh, no, this is what's really fucking me up, okay?
Yeah.
So, I was getting genuinely heckled.
Oh, really?
We're like, yeah, but like it was people thinking they were making the show better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I pissed off one lady. I didn't piss her off. They wanted to order off the menu, and they got in a fight with Brian beforehand, and then they walked out and they stormed out. But here's when I started doing comedy, someone shot at you from the audience to the stage. Gloves were off. You could say whatever the fuck you wanted to put them down. The goal was to come out like Tyson as fast and as quick as you could. Then, now with like the way everything is these days, like Tosh said that thing, and then everyone fucking hated Tosh, and he had to apologize for defending himself against the heckler.
I remember
someone
that.
who's jumping in, not really paying attention. He had to defend himself, and that's the way I hear the story. I've never heard it the way that everyone exploded on him. That's not the way I heard what happened. So, and I have a job that I want to keep at Travel Channel, I genuinely will say I love working for Travel Channel. It is one of the coolest things that has ever just, I've stepped in shit. Like, it's just so, I'm so lucky. But, so, like, all of a sudden I get heckled and I fucking have the comeback in my head, but I'm scared to say it because I know it's across the line and I know that it's going to get a groan and I know I'm running the risk, but in my head I'm like, fuck it. But... So, like, all of a sudden, I have, like, three conversations going on in my head when it comes to heckling. Like, when it comes to stand-up, that's fine.
Right.
I'll do whatever I will still take chances. But when it comes to heckling, it's like I'm afraid to shut them down. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, because you've got more to lose than, let's say, Christina Pajitsky does, right? You've got a television show. I don't know how I'll feel in a few years if I have all the stuff that you do. Because now I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I'm like, fuck you, suck my cock, you piece of shit. And it gives me happiness to see them get sad. Right. If they started it, is what I'm saying. It gives me joy. Yes.
All they got to do is write a blog about it. And then just slant it their way. And then everyone's like, he did that. And it sucks. What's crazy is...
That's terrifying.
What?
Wait, is that what happened to Tosh? Wait, wasn't some comic tweeting at a live?
That was a long time ago. It was with two other comics.
Okay.
I won't say either of their names because I think both of them fucking don't like being involved in comics. But
Okay, got it.
Like a fool, I fucking, this is before I realized how powerful podcasts are, I went on fucking one of, I think, Rogan's or Desk Squad's and just said my opinion.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then,
yeah.
And then everyone got upset. And I was like, oh, I wasn't. I still like everybody. I think everyone's still good people. This was just my opinion at that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a judgment, but I didn't realize that the fucking Death Squad army was like, fuck that shit. We will kill.
They will go after
savages
people.
Is an understatement. Yes. They are fucking naked, spear-wielding savages with blood pouring out of their face.
Yes.
They are fucking... I'm like, yeah, so...
I fear the Death Squad, too. I fear their wrath.
I fear them. Like, I don't even write Death Squad in my hashtags because I'm terrified of them. I'm afraid they'll be like, that's right. Like, and just...
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fucking... But then you meet them and they're like the most... Like Joe.
Oh, the Death Squatters are amazing.
Yeah.
Any Rogan fans, Death Squad fans, anybody, they're awesome. They're nicest people on the
loyal,
planet.
They get comedy. They're fucking really open minded. Like you'd think, and I know that everyone goes, oh, why would you think that? Well, you'd think like MMA, weed smoking.
Right, right. They'd like, be like D bags or whatever.
But they're not.
They're not at all.
Coolest fucking dudes.
You know what? I heard this story. This is terrible. And I forget which comic this happened to. But okay, here. Yeah, okay. Do you know the story? Okay. So. Somebody wrote him, this comic, a hate email. Like, you suck, you're not funny, you're
to
a
Joe
piece
Rogan?
Of shit. No. I forget who this was.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember, but I heard this story. And so the comic, instead of just ignoring the email, which is what you're supposed to do, which we've learned through therapy, right? The guy writes back. He's like, fuck you, I'm not funny. What do you mean? I have a special on Comedy Central. I have X, Y, and Z, and like, enlisted all of his credits. So this crazy person... makes like a website dedicated to hating this particular comedian.
Do you know this comedian's name?
And I can't remember. I could figure it. I'll find out.
Yeah, find out
really
because
now
I'm fucking dying to know.
It's so cray cray. So anyway, basically it's not taken down and the guy's going through litigation or whatever to try to get this site taken down and has lost work because he'll go and like, if you Google this person's name, this hateful shit comes up.
Shut up.
And so, just be careful.
Fucking, I don't respond to anybody.
No, don't ever.
I've never responded to anyone.
I wanted to.
Yeah, I get like things said to me, and I just want to clear the air and go.
Right.
Well, this is what really happened. I appreciate that you're concerned for my, but I don't say a fucking word. I've never said a word to a fault. Like I just keep
you let it go. Yeah.
Because. It does go away. Like the little compulsion you feel to fucking fire back goes away, but it's not right when you read it.
No.
Wait, can I tell you?
But that's the boundary thing too. That's
can
an
I tell
issue.
You well, the to cattail that?
Yeah.
This is my favorite. I'm gonna ruin the story. So like, don't whatever I tell you. It's the truth. But remember, I'm drinking and this happened a while ago. This is one of my favorite fucking responses to someone. Doug Stanhope gets an email from a lady who says...
he's so great at shitting on people, by the way. Stanhope's like the master of that, but go ahead, yes.
He gets an email. I know him very scarcely, but I know him because I've gone back and forth with him on emails just when I was going through a tough time. I emailed him and we kind of connected or talked or whatever. And so... And I know him from, it doesn't matter. He gets an email from a woman and like, I'm going to say Iowa. I don't know what fucking city it was. I'm going to say Iowa. Dear Mr. Stanhope, I attended your show on late Saturday and I will say that I was beyond offended. The material you presented was not only horrific, visual, and disturbing, but you need help. Your jokes about 9/11 were, in my opinion, way too soon, way off par, and like just fucking goes to abortion is not a funny in any sense of the word. Like you should never joke about aborting your like this for the fucking like 2 pages of notes on his act.
Ugh.
Doug Stanhope replies, "Dear ma'am in Iowa, I couldn't agree with you more. When I got the script for that night's show from the club manager, I was appalled at the material. However, being a dutiful comic, I did my job and read the script they gave me to perform."
That's great.
"Please take this complaint to the manager and tell him that his joke about abortion is horrific. Please take note to the manager. Call the people that own the club. Call your local civic. Say this club is presenting." I mean, it was so fucking genius. She replies, "Oh, I knew it couldn't have been you." Are you fucking kidding? just took it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was one of the greatest things I've. I remember,
has he printed that? Is that on the internet?
I read it on his website. I read it on his website, and I was in the, I was at the Miami
That's
Improv.
Brilliant.
This is so long ago. Now that I'm thinking about it, I was at the Miami Improv, and I read it on his website. And I was in, I went into the box office at the Miami Improv and I said, pull up Doug Stanhope website. They pulled it up. I said, just read that. Read that out loud. And there's all the girls in the box office and they fucking howled. They were like, who the fuck is this guy? Because Doug doesn't work the Miami Improv. Or
right.
I'm sure he hasn't in fucking 20 years. But they fucking howled. And I was like, that is the greatest. It's that little mind fuck that you're like, I wish I had an example of anything I've done like that, but I don't. Quite
no,
honestly.
That's so genius. That's such a genius. Like, have you ever accidentally read like a comment card where it's just hate about you? I seldom do. I did it once in Cleveland, and I was like, I don't want to read comment cards ever.
I've read poor reviews of my hour special.
Oh, it's devastating.
I read a poor review of my hour special and didn't realize it was a bad review until the very end. I was like, right, I did that. Yes, okay, I did that
yes,
also.
And?
Awesome, awesome. Wait, I'm stupid. This is an example of why America's number 7? What? Huh? I genuinely stopped caring about them. I started retweeting everything positive, and then all of a sudden they just kind of disappeared.
Yes, I don't retweet. I don't address anything negative on Twitter. Yeah. I don't feed it.
It's those idiots that fucking validate someone who fires off at them, and then you go, "It's just a troll."
Yeah, it is.
It's just some guy trying to get a response. And like, if you reply back, and I mean, my big thing now is I am obsessed. I'm obsessed with going on Facebook and going through the news feed and finding the lamest activity that someone's doing. Fucking wish I could. I wish I had saved this.
Oh, okay.
No one's ever going to find it, but I'll tell you exactly what it is. So the lamest like thing.
Yeah.
And then reading everything they have.
Oh,
everything
it's the best. I think it's my cousin Shadi, because she has stuff like super excited going to the Olive Garden. The new Forever 21 is awesome.
Yes.
And you're like, what?
Oh, it's so
the
great.
Fuck?
There was a guy on my timeline and his thing said, off to duet practice. And I was like, fuck, I'm reading everything he's got. I go to his page, and the next one's like, it's something about Hitler. And if you take away our guns,
God,
you're being Hitler. And I was like, fuck, I love this guy. Then I start going to his pictures. Okay. I don't want to get too specific, because God forbid this guy loves this, because he is a fan of mine.
Oh, no. Okay.
But it's, God damn it, I have to. Man, I'm sorry if you listen to this podcast.
Don't
I'm
say
so
his
sorry.
Name. Just
I don't know his name,
name,
but I'm going to tell you. He's going to know it's him when I tell you what was on his timeline.
All right, do it.
So the next one is, you know the song I'm Sexy and I Know It?
Yeah.
Well, he goes, if you're a dad, you're going to LOL at this hardcore. So I read it, and it's clearly some young comic who's doing a song, I'm a daddy, and I don't boom, boom,
right,
boom, 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 boom.
Right.
And he's like, I wipe the diapers, clean the walls, clean the season, run the balls, I'm a daddy, I can't watch football, I'm a daddy, and I know it. And I was like watching a train wreck. And then I'm like fucking going through, and his profile picture is like you know how they have big profile and then baby profile pictures?
Yeah, yeah.
Profile pictures, him and the kids, beautiful setting. It's a gorgeous picture, him, his wife, and his two kids. There are other ones. The kids are upside down. Like, what?
Wacky dad.
I fucking was obsessed. I wish, I hope to God that friend thing, like, who looked at your Facebook, doesn't work, because I spent an hour and a half on his.
Can I please read you my own cousin Shadi's Facebook?
Please.
Which is like my favorite, because they're so. Here's
is she
an
immigrant?
Yeah, she was not born here, but okay. Now she lives in California.
Okay.
Okay, so, multiple G's. So full. Belated birthday dinner with my family at Buca di Beppo's. Freaks me out. Anyone see this movie, Contagion? And then...
Wait, when did she post this? 2006? When that movie came out? When Gwyneth Paltrow was acting? Before she had fucking kids?
This is fun, too. So, how seriously should we be taking this flu emergency? It's all I've heard on the news today. New York, there's a public health emergency. It's saying it's a national public outbreak!
Wait, speaking of Contagion, Have you ever seen Contagion?
I vaguely recall it. Yeah, Gwyneth was in it, and she's fine.
But
like
here's the
boring
thing.
Yeah.
For anyone that's recently watched this in a hotel last week, So Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest kid, the one that dies,
mm-hmm.
like right after Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow dies, and then
the
youngest
right.
one dies, was not Matt Damon's kid. That's why he doesn't give a shit about it.
Right, and that's why they did and that, like, and, so that and, you don't have to care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fucking cheat is that as a writer?
You don't care about your stepkids. That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Damon's cool with it.
Wait, but I just saw that Jodie Foster movie. Okay, this is a bad theory. This is so racist. I don't
Wait,
care.
It's okay.
There's a Jodie Foster movie.
I'll protect you so that you don't sound racist.
Okay.
I'm well-versed. In corporate America, that I will go. No, you don't really think that. I know what you're saying.
We have to circle back, right?
Yeah, I'm terrified of sounding racist.
Of course,
I'm terrified
because but I don't mean this. Okay, like first of all, let me preface this by saying my stepfamily is Indian. Okay, so I can fucking say this shit.
Oh, you can't be racist about Indian people.
No, they're awesome. Nobody hates Indians.
Yeah, no, they're the sexy. They're the brand new sexy.
Yes, they're very hip right now.
Indian women. I'm so attracted to Indian women.
Well, like that Miss Universe one, like, and the one that does porn. Wait, are those two different people?
I think you're thinking of
who did
the
Russell
autistic
Peters
girl.
One. Oh, wait.
That's the autistic girl's Miss Universe, right?
I don't remember. But there's, like, a super beautiful one.
I just heard an interview on CNN, and they're like, this woman is autistic. Oh, she's going out for Miss America. Miss America. She's autistic.
I thought they were all autistic. Miss America? Wait.
That is not funny. I do not find that hilarious, but that I understand. Yes, we're not making fun of autistic people at all by any stretch of the means. I have a lot of friends with autistic kids.
Well, yeah, we're all borderline Asperger's.
I think they think Isla's autistic now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, she's definitely dyslexic.
No.
Yeah, she's cute. Thank God.
Yeah, she's pretty. She'll
thank
be fine
God. I mean, she's fucking. She is not smart at all.
Wait, but can I tell you my story?
Yeah, please.
So I'm watching the Jodie Foster movie, which is the one where she becomes a vigilante. She finds her dog. It's all about the search for her dog.
Yeah,
and she kills people in New York City.
Yeah.
I forget the name. It's just, it's not that great. But anyway, they made her fiance Indian and like not attractive and like a no-name actor. And I think it's so that you don't feel as bad when he's murdered brutally in the beginning of the movie.
That's not racist at all. That's accurate. Let me tell you something. When you're
thank
on the,
you for saving that.
No, yeah. I don't think
I
that's...
Because I felt racist.
No.
I was like, oh, do we not care because he's not like a white...
No, but don't think that they haven't thought about that.
Right.
If you're making
is,
a movie...
Yeah.
Like, I will distinctly tell you that... I don't know the right way to say this. But everything comes up. Like, that... When they... I was on the... Fuck, I don't want to... I was doing a show one time.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said, one of the executives said something horrifically racist.
Yeah.
Horrifically and directly racist to me. And I was uncomfortable at first because I was like, is this a test to find out if I'm racist? Like,
right. Wait, they do throw it out there.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, these fucking whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So, but then I was like, then I realized that what she was trying to say was not, she wasn't trying to be racist. She was giving me a note. Mm. I wish I could go into greater detail, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm dying to know.
I want to work for the woman again one time. So,
oh, okay.
But it was really kind of fucking fascinating. So I was like, I'll tell you off camera or off podcast.
Right,
I'll tell
right.
you. But like, but that is their job, because you understand, like, they're making something. They're making a product that they've got to explain to the consumer real quick in
right.
a matter of seconds. They got to read your emotions. They got to read everything into it.
Right.
Like. I've seen so many racist things on TV where I go, how the fuck is that up? Like,
oh,
but then like all the McDonald's commercials
and
during
sexist.
February,
yes,
it's like all black
yes,
people
yes.
like, and you're like, but they're putting it out there because they're trying to be better. They're trying to be smarter than the group, but they're not smarter than the group. I don't think.
By implying that the McRib is back, that only black people would enjoy a McRib.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's in February. Every fucking February, the McRib shows up. And they're like, and then they show a black guy eating the McRib
right.
with a big afro. And he's got a dashiki on.
And
he's like, man, this is good ribs. Like, it's like, fucking don't. Shamrock shake? I guess that one makes sense.
A dashiki.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I always try to.
So funny.
I don't know. Like, I stopped talking. I used to talk about race a lot on stage. I stopped talking about it.
So did I.
Stop talking about it. First of all, I don't care enough.
It's not our place. I feel like we, as a white privilege, you and I are pretty awesomely privileged in many regards in society.
Yeah.
You more than me. You're a white male. It doesn't get any better than being a white guy.
It's pretty sweet.
A white woman, I think it goes, okay, let's do the races in order of priority. White guy on top.
No, well, okay, if you're talking about, are you talking about cakewalk? We're not talking about power in society. Like, and just on, like, who has it the easiest?
Yes.
White guys have it definitely the easiest.
Okay, now.
Because all white men run all big business.
Corporations.
All corporations. Absolutely. And I heard Chris Rock say this one time, and I thought this was absolutely fascinating. He said, when I went and met with Lorne Michaels the first time, I really felt out of, I'm paraphrasing, this isn't what he said, but this is kind of what I heard. I felt uncomfortable, and then I noticed that, like, they're like Mike Myers and Adam Sandler and all these guys, they had a shorthand with him because they were white also.
Mm-hmm.
The same way Chris Rock might have a shorthand with
other black
with like
comics.
Warren Sapp, right?
Well, I don't
like
know
they Warren Sapp used to play football for the Bucks.
Yeah,
but they'd have a shorthand that they could communicate real quick because they have all the same set of life experiences.
Right.
So being that all these white men run all these big businesses and they had roughly the same life I had.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm never gonna say I had it hard, but like going to country clubs and going to cotillion and going to private schools and going to college, joining a fraternity, dating only white chicks. Like that's all these dudes that run all these corporations. So when I sit down in a room, I'm not nervous, definitely. I don't feel like they're above me. I feel like I'm equals with them, even though they are. So my shorthand with them is so quick that I don't really, it's not.
Because you're privileged white male and you're speaking your own language. But with me in a room full of white corporate males, there is a weird dynamic because they don't know how to be with me. Because I'm a woman, but I'm not fuckable because they're not there to fuck me. I'm married and I'm a comedian. So now it's like even weirder.
I'm going to put white woman below white men.
Interesting. Because here's the thing, though.
You think black men are above white women?
Yes.
And I'll tell you why I almost agree with that is I do think – I don't think it's really that fair still. I think it's still white dudes all running everything. But I will say that there is a power that a black man has over a white man that is unspoken, kind of unwritten, but they can get a white guy to do shit that a white guy wouldn't normally do because white guys are so terrified of being racist. So
that's interesting.
So I don't know, just like I watch sometimes.
Wait,
like,
and black culture has permeated a lot of
black culture
white
is the number one culture out there right now.
Yeah.
It is the standard for cool.
Absolutely.
So, and now everyone that's getting upset that we're pontificating about race, I apologize. Just fast forward a little bit. But this is, this fascinated me for the longest time. I will say below. So you're going to say white men, black men.
Yes.
I think all black men would still disagree and say white women are probably above them.
This is totally, by the way.
For cakewalks, for easy ride.
Right. And Bert Kreischer and I have no basis for this. We have not done any research other than sitting on his couch and drinking wine. So just so you know, this is just my dumb observation.
Now that I say this, I have a black man who's my boss at Travel
Channel. So then there you go. I would go. So I'm going to go white male. Black male, just because of the president. And
I think the male shit covers. Males connect quicker than a female.
Absolutely. Because the power is with the men.
Hold on.
It's tough for men to relinquish.
Are we taking Asians out of this game?
In America? Well, I'm just going by like American stuff. Because no, Asians are in the game.
Yeah.
Because
I'd throw white men, black men, Asian men.
And then a woman.
What? Well, everyone hired. I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you want your shit done right, you bring an Asian into the fucking mix.
Oh, my God. You're racist and sexist.
No, I'm just saying. I think that this is too hard of a game because there's too many fucking races.
There's too many races.
Yeah.
You're right. Asians are there, but I think that Asian men are often looked at as not powerful. I will say that. I will say they're seen as smart.
Yes.
But sexless and not powerful. They're not.
This medium that we're dealing with right now is probably created by Asian men.
Absolutely.
Podcasting was, anything.
Absolutely.
Like, and I hope that doesn't sound racist that I'm saying Asians are smart. God damn it. You're so fucking scared to sound racist these days.
You can't
have an open, honest conversation about.
I know.
Not even hateful. Like, we're not even saying, like, which one's the least fuckable.
No.
We're saying, like, which in cakewalks of rides. I don't know. Let's change subjects.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's
go.
Let's talk.
In Hispanics. Yeah. We didn't even cover, like, Hispanic people.
I have such a fucking theory on that. I can't even get into it. I fucking can't even get into it. I literally, and I apologize, and only because I haven't fleshed it out.
Same.
It'll come up on stage one day, but I do have a theory about something, and I just, to half cock it on a podcast is not fair.
It's not
fair to anybody, because God forbid anyone gets offended, and I apologize if anyone's offended about that. Why? I sound like a fucking sniveling bitch. Sorry, don't mean to sound sexist.
See, now you're sexist again. look, the point is, here's the point, is that we all come from subjective backgrounds, and we all have different experiences of the world. You can't fault somebody for not knowing everything about everyone's fucking experiences.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, as a, you know, do you find it easier to get a job in Hollywood as a white woman? Because they always need to hire white women on shows, and you just closed like two deals, right?
Yeah. So, I would say being a white woman is way easier than being any other race woman. Because, but here's the problem with being a female is that they only call me in when they're like, we need a vagina on this project, as opposed to, we would like somebody who's qualified. It's always like, we need a token broad around here. Well, who doesn't suck bad enough? Well, Christina doesn't suck bad enough. Like, it's that. It's always so that crazy. Way. So I'm always, like, brought in when there needs to be a female.
Really?
Uh-huh.
See, being a white man in Hollywood's fairly easy.
Yeah, it's rad. You guys are...
Super easy.
But the downside is that there's more of you, I think.
Being
so
a black
to get
dude in
noticed,
Hollywood is very difficult.
That's the toughest, I think.
Yeah, being a black... I think, because you're competing... I mean, the scripts are all written by white men, predominantly.
Yeah.
The studios are greenlighting shit are white men, and I think that when they do write a black character, it's one type of black character, and it's either Chris Tucker, Martin Lawrence, Dave Chappelle, you know, like Chris Rock. It's not, they're not, you know, it's sad that when you see the Jump the Broom or Jump the Stick.
Yeah, I kind of like those movies.
Like, I like them too. Belly's one of my favorite fucking movies I've
ever
like
seen. Yeah, I love Tyler Perry movies. I like them all. I watch them all.
Hold on. There's two things I'm dying to fucking talk to you about.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'd love for you to come over, and then I was like, I wonder if we're just gonna fucking sit and bullshit. But then I was like, I actually have questions.
You know what's so funny is that we sound like two seventh grade girls. I was just thinking, whoever listens to this is gonna hate us because we bounce around.
Oh yeah, we're
like,
definitely all over the map.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys don't like the editing because it's not definitely happening here. How did you get on Road Rules?
I knew you were going to ask me that, Road Rules. You
fucking
love it.
I'm obsessed with that show.
What? Okay.
Fucking obsessed.
I'll tell you
Tom
everything.
Tom's stock increased so much. I'll never forget it. We were driving to
Give
Brea.
Me more alcohol.
We were driving to Brea, and he goes, I'm dating a chick. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, I thought you were gay.
I'm
kidding.
You stupid.
And he goes, no, I'm dating this chick. And he said your name, and I went, okay. And he goes, yeah. And I was like, cool. So we talked you talk. You open the wine.
I'll open the wine. Okay. You talk. Yeah.
So he says she's a comic and she's really funny and I really like her. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. So then I don't really think any of it. At the time we were working in Brea like every.
This is back when he was a feature, right? When Tom.
Oh,
he
still
like,
kind of is a feature a little bit. No, I think we were both features at that time. Like, yeah.
I don't remember a time when you were a feature act. I feel like I know you were. Yeah, never mind.
I was
Sorry,
a feature
yeah,
act one time. And so we're driving back and forth from Brea, like, a lot. We used to do Tuesday shows in Brea. Are you going to get that out? There we go. We used to do Tuesday shows in Brea because Dan was running Brea, and Dan would just loved. Dan had good taste in comedy. Dan and Frank did too, and they would bring us in as much as possible. And we worked a dickload, but we drove back and forth all the time together. And I think Tom was doing a show. And so, like, I'm hanging out with him for probably a year. And then he says, yeah, you know, she was on Road Rules. I've talked about fucking Road Rules and Real World and the challenges a million fucking times to him. I remember slapping, like, punching my steering wheel going, how the fuck could you just tell me this right now?
Oh, no.
And then he goes, yeah, you know, which she was on this when they went to whatever in the Caribbean or Australia or wherever. You were with Piggy. And I was like, fucking I know exactly what you're talking about. You're dating her? He was like, yeah. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then I think when we met, I think I couldn't. We met in Hawaii.
Yeah, we did that Pearl Harbor gig.
Yeah.
You and Tommy were doing July 4th there.
Yeah.
And yeah, and Road Rules.
I wish we had a racist producer on that one.
Like, no.
Poor Russell Peters, man.
I know.
I mean, we get.
I know.
He's
so good.
He's fucking amazing, and he's the nicest guy in the world. He just happened to be brown, and we're playing. We're at war with brown people, and we went to shoot. We went to go shoot guns. Do you remember? Russell goes, I don't feel like going. We're like, oh, you're going to miss out. We get there. The first words out of the guy's mouth, if it's brown and it moves, kill it. And I was like, ooh, good thing Russell didn't show up with his brother Clayton. They would not have enjoyed that line. And then I'm like, oh, wait, we're putting him on stage from a bunch of guys that just got trained. If it's brown and it moves, kill it. And
so conservative, remember? Yeah. There was like language requirements and shit. Yeah, and that's when you shaved Tommy's titties, remember?
That's the funniest. I've never, to this day, that's watching that, that's I best. Laugh exactly that hard. I know. So how did you get on Road Rules?
So I'll tell you a story. So I was living in San Francisco. I was in college. I was broke. And I just come back from studying abroad for a year, right? And I was living in a fucking, literally a closet because I was so poor. And I saw a flyer in the cafeteria that was like, come try out for the Real World and Road Rules. And I was like, I want to do that because I want to travel again.
That so doesn't seem like you, by the way.
Not at all, right?
Like, you really don't seem like someone that would ever do that. Knowing you now, I know, really? Okay.
I know, but I wanted to get the fuck out of the closet that I was living in, and I wanted to see the world, and I was a fucking poor student. So I just went to the casting call, like an open call, and then, you know what the process is. They keep calling you back and calling you back, and then this is the one thing I did that I fucking am so embarrassed about. But so they have a psychologist break you down, basically, and they write like a Bible on you. It's called the show Bible, about your psychological makeup. And that's how they cast you. So Piggy, for instance, was the lunatic, you know, shit mixer. So they predicted she would start fights. And then,
they get like an FBI profiler in there. That kind of person that goes, this guy's gay. It's going to be an underlying tone. Yes. He's going to come out. I can guarantee it.
Absolutely.
Shut the fuck up.
So they
up.
Have a psychologist come in.
And his name was David, by the way. Seattle.
Did you know that I made out with that guy?
You made out with that guy? He's the one that slapped the girl in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. David was a black guy.
Yeah.
Who slapped the girl in the face.
Sorry, I made out with the guy that knocked his tooth out. I don't think he did that.
Wait, the guy that was Boston and fell in love with the producer, and he was like, "This is so real. Yeah. If they want realness, this is the realest thing they could get."
And do you want to know the weird thing? That girl is the one that brought me on the show. She championed me. So she cast me, Kira.
Just for the record, if you're any Real World Road Rules person listening to this and you want to be on this podcast, it's a green light, okay? Fucking hit me up on Twitter. I will bring you in. Fucking.
So I kind of sensed that was happening because they ask you really deep questions about your family, your background, you know, and how does this make you feel? So anyway, it's the last interview, and this is so fucked up, by the way. They give you a contract that's about an inch thick, and you're at the offices of Buna Murray, and they're like, oh, sign these. And they're like, oh, well, can I have an attorney look at it? And they're like, well, I mean, your interview's in an hour, so you better, you know, sign this before your final interview. Otherwise, you can't get on the show. So I realized they kind of fucked you. They kind of bamboozle you a little bit because you're 20 and you just want to be on the show. So anyway, I go in there, and the psychologist is there. And she's asking me all these really sad questions about my shitty family life and my background. And I'm like, oh, they want me to cry.
Shut up.
So I was like, okay. So she comes out, and then another person comes in and starts like interrogating me. Like, you know, how did it make you feel?
Is this on camera?
This is part of it's on the casting special. So if you watch the casting special for my season, there's a part where I talk about like my sister who was on drugs and this and that. And that's right before I cry. I force myself to cry because I knew I had to cry to get on the show.
Fucking funny how your brain.
I'm such an asshole.
That ultimately, all reality television is that way because when I did Last Comic Standing 2.
You did that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did the audition. I got to the next level. I talked to Heffernan about it on this podcast.
Shut your mouth.
I got to the next level and then I got to the semifinals but you do your interview and you can almost feel the way they're directing you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, So you're recently married? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, your wife's pregnant? And I'm like, yeah. And then they're silent and you're like, and I really need this because I got a kid on the way. Like, I mean, this is really big to me. You know, this would mean, because then you start pre-thinking what the people watching it are going to want
right, your
to
package.
See. I'm
you're
packaging
about your
myself for them. Right? I'm like, I'm just a lonely kid. You know, I mean, I'm a hardworking guy. I mean, look at me. I look like every other American. Tim Allen, maybe, right? Ellen? But you start pre-packaging yourself. So then you get on. Do they call you and tell you, how did you find out you're on it?
So I kind of pre-packaged myself too because I was like, I'm a philosophy student.
Yes.
Oh, and I was so.
I'm brooding. I got those Eastern European features.
So dark, and I was chain smoking, and I had this troubled boyfriend. You know, my love life is troubled and this and that. My family life is troubled.
I'd love to read the bio package of the guy that had the tiger tattooed on his chest.
That's Chadwick. Do you know, Chadwick. I just saw him in my neighborhood. He lives in my neighborhood now. I know, and I haven't spoke. He doesn't like me because one time on the show, they didn't show this, but one time I was talking shit about him to Susie and Piggy because he wanted to be an actor, and I was such a dick. I was like, I was so mean. I was like, Chadwick's too short and he's not good. And I was
clearly
just...
you didn't know anything about fucking Hollywood. Fucking every actor is short as shit.
I know. And I just was talking shit about him and he fucking heard me. And I'll never forget this. This is the one time I felt really bad about talking shit about somebody. And he came up behind me and he's like, you know, Christina, I was in the bathroom and I could hear every word you said. And ever since then, we were not friends. And he has hated
Chadwick.
Me. No, he has hated me since 1998 or whatever. Anyway, I think he lives in my neighborhood because I saw him coming out of Trader Joe's. And I was like, oh, no, dude, he lives in my fucking neighborhood. I'm going to have to see him now.
So wait. Okay, so how do you find out that you get on?
Okay, so what they do is they send camera crews out to follow you throughout your casting pretty much.
Uh-huh.
So like I had to go to a Hungarian restaurant with my mom and my stepdad.
Oh, my God.
And the camera crew.
Oh, my God.
And my mother,
I'm fucking cringing for you right now.
The worst. And my mom is not camera. Obviously, your parents are not camera savvy, so they just shut down. Like they were just like, oh, I don't know what to say. What do you want me to say? I don't understand. This is what the fuck is this? And it was just terrible. But they followed me, and I lived in San Francisco at the time. And they came over, and the roommates and I were sitting around chain smoking and getting drunk. And then I get the phone call from casting. And
they're there.
And the camera crew's there filming all of that as part of your package to introduce you. And then it's like, they tell you get the show. And then I was like, oh my God, I got it. And then all my roommates are like, yay. And then we all high five. And it's the beginning of this like great adventure.
So now, okay.
Yeah. No, and it was a great adventure. I will say that I'm proud of my time on Road Rules because this is before Mary Ellis Bunim died. And, do you know, Mary, it's Bunim and Murray, the company.
Yeah, I took a job with them just because I was obsessed with the fucking shows.
You should have tried out. Why didn't you try out?
It didn't seem achievable to us when we were in college. Like, it just didn't seem like something you could ever do. Like, how are they going to find a kid in Tallahassee?
Okay, Mr. Greatest Party Guy.
I know. Well, now I look back and I'm like, I definitely could have done that.
You could have been the star.
But, yeah, but like, I could never have. I don't know. And I would have. Let me tell you something. I would have been the fucking puck. I would have been the fucking guy that went off the... Because at that age, I had no filter. And I thought whatever I said was fucking coming from an informed place.
Right.
And I had some really uninformed opinions.
All of us do.
Yeah.
And I can't even watch those fucking episodes.
So wait, where did you go? Oh, no,
yeah,
Mary Alice Burnham.
Okay, so the point of the story is the reason... My theory is the reason the shows, I think, have gone downhill casting-wise...
I can't watch them now. I'm also 40.
Well, they're... Well, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
But the casting's... They're all just superficial, hot dopes who hook up on the first minute being in the house.
Well, there was an experiment. A social experiment going on. I remember hearing one of the dudes saying, one of the guys, Boone Murray?
Yeah. So it's Mary Alice Bunim and John Murray.
John Murray. I remember John Murray saying, I am weaving a tapestry of humanity for society to look at. And I was like, I don't think that's what it is. But now that I look back, I can see the nobility of what he was trying to do.
Well,
he was trying to make money, number one. But at the same time, he was like, now the casting's like, she's hot. She's hot.
Hot.
She's
hot.
Asian. She's hot. Black. He's hot. Black. He's hot. Asian. All right. We'll get them all there.
But so my
can you guys get on a cycle of steroids real quick? Because everyone's fucking shredded on that show now.
I mean, when I was on there, I was.
Not that I've ever watched it recently.
You know, it wasn't like that. But my theory is because Mary Ellis was this wonderful woman who came from a soap opera background.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really had a knack for picking people that had wonderfully complicated personalities and backstories.
Man, she really did because I'll tell you what, I probably watched up into Las Vegas.
That's my theory that's when the show turned and she passed away right before that. And then John Murray cast everything since. And I think his touch brought something different.
I will definitely question his casting because he cast me once and I was like, wrong guy.
What did you do?
I should definitely have Theo and Brett Ernst on to talk about this. It was me, Theo, and Brett Ernst. Theo Vaughn.
Yes, who I know.
Theo, who I became, who I literally, you have any idea how hard it was to, I did a show with him and Amy Schumer and Donnell Rollins and Red Grant and Kyle Cease on Comedy Central called, I'm leaving people out, I know, but on called Reality Bites Back.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, it was one of the funniest things I've ever done in my entire life was my exit from that show where I got naked, did a backspin, and dry humped Michael Ian Black. So, it's, you can't find it online. I know I have it on one of my computers. I just don't know where it is. So, but he's on the set, and I don't know him. I've never met him, but I watched all the fucking episodes. And I had to bite my tongue until the moment where I got drunk around him one night. We're in a house, and I was like, so, Theo, I'm a big fan of yours. And he was like, well, I'm a big fan of yours. And I was like, for what? And he's like, your stand-up. I go, oh, yeah, oh my God, what? I was like, I literally told him, I said, that I fucking love this. I am so sorry that I'm pouring out about Real World Road Rules, but I was obsessed.
Well, so was I before I was, honestly, like, because I got to meet the Real Worlders the first few seasons, and I nerded out hard on, like, Norm. Remember Gay Norm, the first gay person on TV?
Yeah.
And Puck was on one of the challenges I did. I nerded out meeting Puck, so.
I nerded out meeting Puck, too. Okay. Yeah, okay, like, Puck came to one of my shows one night, and I was like, fucking Puck?
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, man, I run a dispensary now if you want to get high.
He's
and I was
crazier
like,
than cat shit.
He's fucking, but I was like, I'll get weird with that guy. Yeah. Like, but I met Kit.
Uh-huh.
Kit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Interviewed me for American Journal right after I became the number one party animal. I mean, that was the biggest fucking shit. She comes down, I'm number one party animal, and they start sending film crews to meet me, and she comes down, and everyone's like, it's fucking Kit.
Aww.
She hooked up with Scott, or whatever that guy's name is, who's an SAE at Florida. But, now, here, okay, so that's all I'm going to do about road rules, because here's the most fascinating thing.
Yeah.
The vast majority of those people fail in every aspect of their life.
I know.
I don't know that. Let me rephrase that. The vast majority of those people fail in the entertainment business.
Yeah, I would rephrase that, because not everybody
those
shows wanted to go. And actually, the people from my cast ended up living pretty great lives.
Really?
Yeah.
What's Piggy doing?
Okay. I was going to say, all except.
Oh, we saw that coming. When she jumped off that waterfall, let me tell you something. I act like I fucking just watched it yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I was obsessed. I watched.
I barely remember that. I did it.
I can't help it.
What other shit do you remember? Because I don't even remember that shit.
I remember. Wasn't there like a Puerto Rican kid on your thing?
I made out with the Puerto Rican kid.
Didn't he get kicked off for hitting someone?
No, Oscar. Okay, so I made out with Oscar after the camera stopped rolling. Like, I was smart, because I was like, I'm going to fucking hook up with this Puerto Rican kid. But I waited until the last day of shooting at the rap party, and then I was like, let's hook up. So Oscar was on the cast before me, like Islands. And
he had like a weak goatee.
Yeah, oh my God. He was so gross. Yeah, thumb
he hurt
rings.
His foot on the boat. God damn it. How do I fucking remember this? I'm embarrassed for myself
I'm
right now.
I'm embarrassed for you.
I can't help it.
I hooked up with him. I didn't even watch his season.
I'm dying for
the day that
Susie comes in town and you guys invite me over and I get to meet Susie.
I just texted with her today. She's coming to D.C. to hang out with me when I do the D.C. improv.
Susie, just for the record, you have an open invite to my D.C. improv shows. And my shows are fucking completely sold out pre-sale.
I hate you.
I will fucking definitely find a two-top if you can bring Oscar.
You know what? She probably would interview you because she has a podcast now.
What's she do?
She just interviews people, like famous people.
So wait, let's go back.
Okay,
so everyone fails.
So
except for
much,
you, in the entertainment business, Kit blew the fuck up.
She did great.
Let's just
what
point
did she do?
Well, she, Kit, I love you. I haven't talked to you in fucking 20 years. You probably don't remember who I am even. But to be fair, she married the guy who runs ESPN.
Oh, wow.
And so she works on ESPN. So it's not like, I mean, it's not like she trailblazed. She got on Cold Pizza, and her husband runs ESPN and always has.
Don't you? So, I always admire people that marry well. Like,
I married
for love.
So poorly. I married for fucking love.
So did I. And I'm like, I love Tommy more than anything, but I'm like, why couldn't I fall in love with an executive at like Comedy Central or HBO?
Yeah, I think of that. You hear the stories of people who start dating executives and blow the fuck up. And you're like, why the fuck? Like, I mean, it's very common, and I think she's talked about it, and I'll say it out loud. I don't know the woman. But, like, everyone said that Chelsea dated that dude. That's why she got so many opportunities.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck. You still got to fuck them. You still got to have their dick inside of you. Like, you can't. There's no amount of money that is going to get me to fuck someone to live with someone for like four. She dated a dude for like 4 years, right?
I know.
But he was a good looking dude, so I could probably stomach. I don't know. Why am I talking about fucking a dude? But I'm saying, like,
right.
I couldn't go gay for a TV show.
I'd go gay for. You want to go gay for like a really. What about a network show? Like the Bert Kreischer.
Give me the dude before you fucking throw this out there.
Okay. Who's on 60 Minutes still? Like, which one of the living...
Anderson Cooper.
He's not on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, he is.
He's on 60 Minutes.
Of course.
Well, the whole cast.
Who do you think is doing news these days? Anderson Cooper's like the only one really interested in doing news. Him and the fucking the guy.
Wait,
that.
Who's the guy that looks like a bulldog and he's got like droopy dog red eyes?
He's dead. Andy Rooney?
No, he's still on there. We just watched him.
No, he's dead. No, he's dead. Andy, you saw a rerun. It was probably on the History Channel. It's Andy Rooney and he's dead.
You have to blow Andy Rooney for a year and let him butt fuck you, but you get the number one sitcom. It goes into syndication and you make like millions, like Whitney Cummings fuck you money.
Wait, Whitney, how much money is Whitney?
She's making a lot right now with Two Broke Girls and her sitcom.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
She's doing real well.
You know what? I always mix her up with other people. Like when it comes to success, I always think she's someone else. Like I always think I know Whitney very well, but I don't think of her.
Right.
When I think of the writer of Two Broke Girls, I think
it's
Chelsea.
She like I think she was a consultant, but whatever. She's making bank off of it. So, but don't
no,
don't
I couldn't do it.
Don't shirk it.
I couldn't do it.
Only for 1 year, you have to blow Andy Rooney.
And he let him fuck me in the ass. No, I couldn't.
And you have to listen to him pontificate. I'm like, what's the deal with cell phones? Do I really need an iPhone 5 when the 4 works?
Why do you always put your face in the pillow? How come? Why won't you look me in the eyes? Andy, it's just awkward. Why won't you lay on your back on my stomach and let me do it that way and play with your breasts? No, I would not. I definitely
Why?
Wouldn't.
But he would just have to fuck you. You wouldn't have to.
For the record, if you said it the other way, like I could fuck him and get the thing, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that.
Why? Why is that? Why?
Because I'm not going to be. We're not. This is a moot point because it's never going to happen.
This could happen.
No, it couldn't. It couldn't. So wait, let's go back to.
We
let's
could
go back
exhume
to,
his body and make it happen.
Let's go back to why.
Yeah.
Let's backtrack. We fell in love for love. Chelsea Handler. I know.
That fucking, yeah.
I know. Well, we can talk about
that. We can talk about that.
But
I want to talk about
right now, anyone who's a Chelsea Handler fan has got their finger on their Twitter button like, Chelsea, they're talking shit about you.
We're not, though.
No,
it's not
about her.
Her.
I always wanted to have sex with her.
She's gorgeous. I think she's really pretty.
I think she's funny, too.
And I think that she serves a great purpose for girls that age. You know what I'm saying? She kind of took... The word, like she took the slut shaming out of society. Like, you know what I mean? Instead of being
She really
like,
did. That's really a neat way to put that is she did.
A neat way.
Well, I never looked at it that way. I really didn't look at it that way.
But that's what she's doing is subverting that whole thing of like, fuck you. I'm not a whore. I just do this. This is normal for me. Why can guys do this and I can't?
Yeah.
So I do value that. Are you farting or burping?
No, I'm just sitting up. So wait, but your experience on the show is not positive.
Can I tell
to say
you?
The least.
Well, I've been fired a lot. Okay, like I had 22 jobs in between the time I started college and the time I became a comedian full time. Like I got fired from or quit from at least 22 jobs, and I got fired from Chelsea lately, and it was like that was the one I cared about.
Well, it's such a stamp. It's because there are all these comics that are touring now that. I don't think we're even featuring at the time they got the job that are now headlining clubs
and selling out.
And I would venture to say prospering insanely.
Oh, and it helps the show is wonderful in that she's gracious enough to put on comedians and like give them a platform.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so thankful for the
time I think she
I
gets
had.
It. I think she genuinely gets it where she's like, why not put a bunch of funny people on that I can break their balls, I can fuck with them, I can do whatever I want. Because they're all comics, we're all the same sensibility. And I think they're all the...
But, okay, so here's what happened with me. So I was on that show for like a year just doing the round table. And then a writing job opened up because Jen Kirkman left to go write sitcom. And,
I'm dying. I was. Let me say previously, I was dying to get Jen Kirkman on the show.
She won't do it?
No, she will. Her schedule is worse than mine. And so now I was like, well, you know what? If it ever happens, it happens. But like, I feel fucking weird hounding someone that, you know, like looking at schedules and like going, hey, man, I still, like after 3 emails, I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like I emailed Marin and was like, hey. I was like, hey, man,
he's
I'd
trying
love
to come
on
ours too, but he's so busy with his show.
He's busy as shit. He gave me like 3 days. I can do February 22nd, February 27th. And I was like, if I'm in town, I'll do it. My schedule is so fucked. But Jen Kirkman and I had a hardcore, back when no one knew what podcasts were, Jen Kirkman and I had a fucking hardcore drama, like what? Biggie Tupac drama.
Why?
Nah, I'm making it sound much bigger than it is, but it, only because she won it. But
do you think really she won it?
She
or
really
just,
did.
Well, what happened?
It was fucking so long ago. Jen Kirkman, I think, is hilarious. I think she's awesome. I think Ari and I talked about her. But I was on a thing. It's so fucking long and point. But what I'll say is I said something about her on a podcast that I didn't think I said it one way, but she definitely heard it that way.
Oh.
And so I didn't really even pay attention to the fact that I said it. And then I go to listen to that podcast when I'm coming back from South Africa. I go to listen to it and Jen Kirkman's on there and I liked her. I thought she was funny.
Yeah.
And I thought that I said that on the podcast, but maybe I didn't. But I go to listen to her and I'm on a flight from South Africa to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And first takeoff, we're taking off and I hear her go, and fuck Bert Kreischer. Who the fuck is this guy? Who the fuck does he think he is? He's going to tell me I can't work Iowa? Fucking, let me tell you something. And I was like, and I started getting angry. And I was like, motherfucker, but I can't talk to anyone. I want a guy to play for the next 33 hours. And I stewed for 33 hours halfway through the flight. Not halfway, probably like an hour and a half in, 2 hours in. I was like, you know what? She's right. Whatever she heard is what she heard. I don't know what I said. I don't know how I said it, but that's how it affected her. And so I wrote her an email and said, I genuinely apologize. I did not mean to say that about you. I didn't think I spoke poorly about you. But whatever you heard was what you heard. And she never replied. Hold on. She never replied for like 6 months. And then out of the blue one day, she goes, I've been meaning to reply to you for 6 months.
Oh.
Your email was very sweet. I sincerely, I sometimes get upset when it was very like very kind and everything, but she definitely won because I wrote this like heartfelt email and I thought she just didn't give a fuck. So for 6 months, but then at the end, it's like no one wins in drama. But
no.
I emailed her a couple times and I was like, you know, I'd love to talk to you. I think she's funny as shit.
She's
great. I think she's fucking hilarious.
But don't you find too? At least the longer I'm in this business, I find it very hard to criticize other comics.
I do now. I didn't when I was young.
Right. You don't when you're in your 20s. And then you're
I used to talk
30s.
Shit about the alternative comedy scene. And then until I went into that room and I was like, oh, this is cool as shit.
It is cool. It's their own thing. But also you just go, dude, if you're making money in showbiz,
who gives a fuck?
Yeah. We're all just trying to stack our checks.
I used to judge myself based on what other like people made. Like,
right.
Like, oh, he sold out? How come I don't sell? Like, it's not about them. It's about me. I'm the only person in my race. And my race is all, like, it's just my family and my
right.
kids. And, like, that's
yes,
it.
In this world, your small universe.
Yeah, my small,
of course.
Tiny, like, I remember saying to Ari, it's fucking pointless. But let's go
Wait,
back to
but
Chelsea.
Can I, okay, so I want to say, and it's funny in hindsight, at the time, and when you get fired, it's very traumatic, and especially when it's a show business firing. At least in my mind, I was like, "Oh my god, everybody's gonna know. This is so embarrassing."
Yeah.
But it was actually cool. The day I got fired, I'm friends with Roseanne Barr and her
Wait,
daughters.
Hold on. Jen Kirkman leaves to go write on sitcoms.
Right. So then I forgot that bit. So I'm a Roundtable regular, and then. You know, I become a writer. I fill in for Jen. I take Jen's spot.
In retrospect, tell me right now, just yes or no.
Okay.
Would you trade your experience of writing on Chelsea for just staying around table regular?
Yes.
Okay.
I should have done that. And here's why. My instinct at the time went, don't become a writer. Because I was a writer for many years for animation, for films and shit. And I was sick of being a writer. But the other part of me was going... We live in downtown LA, and you know the place I was living at the time.
Tom would be like, come pick me up. And I'd be like, yeah, will you be downstairs waiting for me? He's like, I'm not waiting down there. And I was like,
right.
I don't want to fucking wait down there.
Right, so you saw where we were
yeah.
at, and I was like, I should just do this. Maybe it'll be different. Maybe I'll enjoy it this time. And in retrospect, now I look back, and I was like, my ego didn't want me to write for some other girl. Honestly, and if I'm being fucking honest here,
yeah.
I could blame her and be like, fuck it, Chelsea Handler didn't like...
Yeah.
It's nothing about Chelsea. It's not about her. It's not about anybody else. It really was, at the end of the day, me not listening to my voice that went, your ego is too big to write jokes for another person. Take your jokes, get your ass on the road, and become a headliner, and don't look back. And I made
That's
a fucking
very...
bad detour for me, you know?
Yeah.
But it ended up being one of the best things that ever happened. Because every day I was resentful writing jokes for somebody else. I didn't like it. When I got fired, I went, well, what? Now, what am I going to do now? I'll just go on the road. And ended up being like the best thing that I ever did.
Yeah. I remember when you got the job. I remember the look in Tom's eyes like, she's going to beat me to the top?
No!
Like,
terrible!
He, no, but...
He didn't say... A no, lot of people was, project that, but I don't think he was like that at all.
I don't
all.
Think he was like that. I think he was like, fuck yeah. He was, let her get a job where she stays here, I'll get her pregnant, and then I can do the bed.
I hate you. You're the worst.
So now, so how do they fire you?
Oh, this is the best. So this is the showbiz firing. This is the ultimate. So I do the round table. And it I had a
they
great.
Fired you after the round table.
No, it gets better. So this is a Thursday. I'm doing the round table, and I did well enough that the executives were walking through the building, and they were like, "Oh, Christina, we're so happy you're here. You're just doing a great job. What a wonderful taping you had." And I'm like, "Wow, I'm fucking gangster. Like, I got this show. Like, I'm on top of the world." So the next morning, I come in. And nobody's in the office. It's just empty. And normally there's people filing in, and you know, we have our writers meeting, and I go to my desk, and the executive producer is like, "Christina, could you come in here?" And I was like, yeah. Now the irony is, the day before, I was talking to my friend Chris Frangiola, who's on the show, and he was telling me about this other guy that had gotten fired at Chelsea, and how I forget what the conversation was, but we were laughing about it. So it was kind of in my head as a subconscious, like, wouldn't that be really funny and ironic if I happened to get fired? And sure enough, the guy is like, "Yeah, we have to let you go for whatever bullshit reasons they give me."
Is it the moment where your ears go cold, your eyes go cold, you stop hearing things and everything just starts going, "Wah." No,
it was even worse than that, Bert. Because I just had this conversation with Chris, I'm thinking, this is a fucking joke, right? And I say it. I go, "Nuh-uh." Just like that. I go, "Nuh-uh." And he goes, "Yeah, we're going to have to let you go." I go, "No, are you being seriously?"
"Guys, yeah, you guys are good. You guys are good. I'm going to be at my desk." And then I come back in. You're like, "Guys, let go of it. Jesus. It's been 6 months. These guys really, they put a restraining order on me. These guys are serious about their jokes."
Yeah, and I didn't believe it. He had to tell me three or four times.
That dude, by the way. That dude, his kids went to the same school as my kids, I think.
I know, yes. I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that guy's name. I never even met him. But his wife kept saying, "I got to get my husband to Leanne. I got to get my husband to get your husband on Chelsea."
Right.
And so then I one time was like, I said to Shuler, I think, I was like, "Hey, man, they bring it up to Leanne all the time. I could totally get on that show." And he called back. He was like, "You can't." I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You can't. Don't worry.
They're not interested."
He goes, "Never call again."
Yeah.
"We're done."
Well, so. Because it's only comics get really upset about that. And it's not that you're not funny.
It's chemistry. It's like,
not even that, buddy. It's the e-demographic because it's primarily women that are watching. So like Bert Kreischer, who appeals to frat boys or whoever, dudes is not
I've
going
been a
to.
Dude around women my whole life. 90% of them don't want to fuck me. I'm going to say 95 don't want to watch me on TV. So yeah, right. I get it. You know who likes me? 13-year-old boys.
Right.
They fucking think I hung the moon. And I'm cool with it because you know what? All my heroes in life were established when I was a 13-year-old boy.
And there you go.
Chevy Chase, Bill Murray.
Love it.
Bill fucking
Bill
Murray.
The best.
I want to have the dudes from The Chive on this podcast. You ever follow The Chive?
No.
Oh, my God. Fucking The Chive rocks. It's my favorite site. And it's just 13-year-old boy shit.
Oh,
but I'm 40 years old and I dig it. I want to have those guys from The Chive on. But so yes, I totally get it. And that's, you know, it's like, you can't get hung up on that. But getting fired is tough. You know what I do? You know what I do?
It's the worst thing ever. Honestly.
I hang my hat on. I've never been fired from a TV show. Not going. Well, I've had shows canceled.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Technically,
I guess yes, it is. Yes,
all my shows canceled.
Right.
Every show I've ever had has been canceled.
Yeah. Well, hey, me too.
Best advice I ever got in my life. You ready for this?
Yeah.
And I hate that this guy's pretty cool. I hate that I'm including him in it, but it's the truth. The day my first TV show was The X Show. And it was like on FX. And
that's the show that I got canceled too. I was in the lead-in show, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. No. That was Herb Burt.
Yeah, sorry.
You were on The Hitchhiker Diaries.
Yeah, and that show got canceled. Yeah. I remember I was like,
Herb Burt got canceled. And I almost died for that show.
Yeah.
But X Show was before that. It was one that got me the Herb Burt, and I was on it for like a year. I was a host. I'm gonna have the people that I was on. They're my co-hosts. I'm gonna have them on the podcast. We're gonna do a podcast together, and we're gonna have John Moore, who's my other buddy that produces Joe Schmo.
Yes,
I'm gonna have him write segments for us, just like old school, and we're gonna do them and see if we got better. So
that's
awesome.
Wait,
so I got canceled, And I was devastated because this is my family. I moved out to LA. I knew no one but these people that worked on the show. I drank with these people every night. I dated these people. I fucked these people. That's all I did was, this is who, these are the people that, these are my life. And it got canceled. I was devastated. Mark Cronin, to his credit, noticed that and pulled me into his office. I don't even know if he'll remember this. But this is one of my, Mark Cronin now is a mega millionaire.
I know.
He created Celebrity on VH1.
Yes.
He sits me in his office. He pours me, I think he was like a scotch drinker or a whiskey drinker. He pours me a whiskey and we both drink it. And he says, can I give you some advice? He goes, I'm going to tell you two things. Can I give you some advice? Number one, every show you'll ever work on will get canceled. No show doesn't get canceled. Everyone gets canceled. It's part of this business and you got to get over this. He goes, what I suggest you do is you have one more drink with me, you get in your car, you drive over, and you go see the movie Freddy Got Fingered.
I love that. And I Daddy, said, do you want some sausage?
He goes, I love that movie. I go, really? And he goes, yep. And you watch that and go, well, at least this isn't my career. And I went, all right. So I didn't know any better. I go, watch Freddy Got Fingered. It's so fucking bad that I'm like,
yeah, there's one
thank
good.
God this isn't me. Thank God I fucking dodged this bullet. I just got fired from FX. No one has ever seen this. He goes, right. You're anonymous. Enjoy it. Keep working. You're going to work the rest of your life. Yeah. Stick with your stand. He was a fucking, Mark Cronin was a great dude to work for. He ended up producing Herb Burt.
Oh, is that right?
He produced Herb Burt.
I'm friends with Chris Abrego, who's like BFF with.
And well, I think they started 51 Minds.
They did together. And Abrego did the Hitchhiker show that I was on.
Yeah.
Your lead-in thing.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, those two guys are doing really well.
Do you ever, this is going to sound really shitty what I'm about to say, but do you ever wonder why those our super rich friends don't hook us up?
I know.
Why doesn't Cronin pull me in for a long meeting and figure out what the fuck my specialty? He's been seeing me on TV for fucking 15 years. Like, why can't he just figure out my shit? He can make fucking Bret Michaels have a comeback, but me? Like, what the fuck, Cronin? Like, you're smarter than everybody. You worked with everybody. Fucking make it happen.
I know, right? Like, but you're already hosting your reality.
I'm very happy with doing what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm fucking, God, yeah. You just look at those friends like that. So wait, so you get fired from Chelsea and Roseanne calls you?
No, so what happens is...
You grew up with Roseanne, right?
With her children, with her daughters, yeah. And that family is like, I think so wonderful and
Do you talk about that at all?
A little here and there. I haven't for many years just because I didn't want to like, I don't know, I'm very protective of them and I don't want them to be any more exploited. I feel like that family's gone through a lot of
shit.
It's
weird how that works.
Yeah.
That how you get protective of people and then you're like, yeah, some dude. Keep going.
Because they've been through so it's like that. Yeah. They've been through a lot. So Jenny is my friend. And so she's been around the business her whole life. And I go over there.
Does she work in the business still?
No, she lives in Hawaii and she has goats and she like farms honey and stuff and like they live off the land from
I could do that shit
so great yeah I she's the so best life that. Ever and I love her and I'm so sad that she lives there but she was so great to me because I went over there the day after it happened and her sister Jessica were there and I was like dude I just got fired from Chelsea lately and they were like well congratulations it's your first Hollywood firing and we drank and like partied and I told them what had happened where I was like yeah they complimented me the day before they were like you're amazing and Jenny was like, oh, yeah, that's what they do. They make you feel really good. And then they stab you in the back the next day. And I was like, oh, it was so nice to have people that got it. Because, like,
yeah,
you know, not it's just it's a very particular business.
What happened to Roseanne? Why isn't she doing stand-up? She is?
Dude, she's in Vegas again.
What?
She's parked in Vegas. Yeah, I don't know what venue, but she's on Twitter.
She's on Twitter.
Follow her.
I think I saw people back and forthing with her. But, like...
She's around. She's
she
doing it.
Told a story on stage. God damn. She had a production company a long time ago.
Yes.
And a girl I hooked up with in college was working for that production company. God, I don't remember the girl's name. And Amy. God, she was the best kisser. She was a really good kisser.
I cannot see you having anybody other than your wife as a lover. It's so weird.
No, I didn't have sex with her. We just made out. We were roommates at the time. So anyway, God, I can't remember her name and I'm sorry if you, anyway, it doesn't matter. So, I was working, Louis Anderson used to do Sunday nights at the Comedy Store and we'd all go and do Louis' show.
Oh,
it was
long ago. When was this?
Yeah, this was right before he had his heart attack. And then he had a heart attack and it ended. So, but like all his old friends, everyone would come down. I mean, fucking Chris Rock, Andrew Dice Clay, fucking Yakov Smirnoff. No, I'm kidding. But right. literally Chris
he's
Rock.
He's in Branson now.
I know. Andrew Dice Clay and Roseanne one night. Yeah. So Roseanne goes on. She told the greatest story about trying to rip out Tom Arnold's hair plugs in a truck one night. And I was like, it was so vulnerable. The thing about those guys, like Roseanne and Dice and all those guys, they were funnier. They got married to this persona that Americans sees them in. And I don't know if – I haven't seen any of them do stand-up, so I don't know if this is accurate now. But it was definitely accurate that night. His Dice was going up doing old Dice. But backstage, we were in stitches listening to him tell a story about taking his kids to the park that day and how they wanted to bring bikes. And it's all about the bikes. The bike. But he's doing Dice. Right. But he's doing it about being a dad. And we were fucking floored. We're laughing so hard. And then Roseanne was telling a story about trying to rip Tom Arnold's hair plugs out. And we're like, shut the fuck up.
But don't you think, because she is who she is on and off stage, though. I don't
she
think
is.
That's a persona.
I think she told that story on stage, to be honest.
Yeah, she's actually, I think, one of the most fucking brilliant comedic minds. Like, she's the gold standard for me for female comics.
Oh,
like,
those guys. Well, I don't think there should be. I literally don't think there should be a separation with female and male
comics.
Oh,
really, Book Crusher?
Yeah, I definitely don't. I definitely think.
I don't either, but that's how the business likes to categorize us.
Well, it has to. It's like Al Madrigal's old story of he booked Aspen one year, and he got so excited because he booked Aspen, and he shows up to the show, and it's like red hot Latinos. And he's like, oh, wait. So I'm just that?
But do they have to, like. I've always said that my goal is that one day people don't go, oh, she's a female comic. Like, she's just a comic. And I don't know if that'll
you're
happen.
Just a comic.
No.
I think you're a comic. I don't think of you as a female comic. I definitely don't think of Chelsea Handler as a female comic. I don't think of Jen Kirkman as a female comic. I don't think female, when it comes to comedians, and I think Twitter's changed that. I know Tom and I talked about this one time.
Yeah.
But, like, I think females are a million times funnier on Twitter than men.
Yes, because it doesn't involve shouting over other people. Like, you have your audience. You have... Because women are not, like... I don't know. I'm speaking for all of us. But, for instance, on the round table, I remember you had to, like, fight to get your joke in. And women are just not naturally, like... We don't want to have to fight to be fucking hurt.
It is a natural instinct for a dude to start talking over people. If you listen to the first 15 minutes of this podcast, I guarantee you it's me going, wait.
Right.
Like, listen to my fucking monkey, like when Leanne does her impression of me, it's like, like I'm a fucking, but yeah, you're totally right. And it's a natural instinct for me to try to steal the conversation because as a man, I wasn't a great looking man. So I needed to make people laugh, make people interested. It's like part of the song. Like as an attractive woman, there are very few really ugly female comics.
I don't know. Are there? There's ugly.
Yeah.
There's very few ugly female comedians.
Yeah. Meaning like if you're ugly and you're a woman, you better be really fucking fat.
Yeah. It's
you better
tough.
Be really ugly. You can't just be mediocre ugly. Like everyone always talked about Jen Kirkman. Sexy.
Gorgeous. I think she's very beautiful.
Sexy. I had a dream. I had sex with her the other night.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you tell Leanne?
Really, no, but.
Can
no.
you tell Leanne those things or will she?
She won't care. She's like, who the fuck is Jen Kirkman?
That's true.
She'll be like, oh, okay. She doesn't care. But it was a weird, because we didn't have sex. Let me rephrase that. We did like dream sex, you know, where like you touch someone's, I don't know. It's fucking weird. I wish I hadn't said that. Anyway, but like Chelsea Handler, super sexy. Sarah Silverman, super sexy. Amy Schumer, Nikki Glaser, Andy Smith. All these women are hot, in my opinion.
They are.
You. They're right. All attractive. Think of the ugly female comedians.
But wouldn't you say that that's... No. But I hear what you're saying. There have to be... I mean, I don't want to call anybody out as being ugly.
Whitney Cummings, gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, but it's showbiz, Bert. But then look at the male side of it. Are there any truly ugly male comics that are on television?
Me, your husband. Ari Shaffir.
No!
Brian Redpan.
No.
Joey Diaz. Fucking, we're talking about, like, standard. Like,
I think
standard.
He,
like,
I don't think
I'm talking, like, gorgeous male comics. There's that dude that
Dane
does.
Cook's
Dane Cook's a good-looking dude. But it's almost an uphill battle for him because people look at him and go, that's why people don't want to see their comics lose weight. They don't want to see the comic lose weight. They'd rather see the fat, lovable guy than the guy they want to fuck. When Dane posts a picture of him with his shirt off on top of Runyon, people shit on him because he's not being funny. He's just being himself, right? But he is attractive.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Burr, God bless him, he has red hair. That is his saving grace, is that half of the women don't want to fucking do with red hair. And Bill will, like, but I think Bill's an attractive dude. But It's like one of those things. He can be in shape, but he's always going to be like that.
Yeah, but can I tell you something?
I'm not a good-looking guy. But
no, but women will overlook looks in exchange for an awesome personality. Women are way more forgiving than men.
Yeah, no, right, right. So, like, think of, there's the one girl, I can't remember her name, but there's a girl.
There's ugly female comics. I'm not going to call them out on this podcast.
There are, but they play.
I'll do it when we're done talking on
air. They play ugly as their strength.
Right, or awkward. Like, I'm so, like, I'll tell you what. Okay, who's that broad that's on that show where it's like, oh, Zooey Deschanel, right? She's supposed to be like, I'm just weird and ugly. And all she does is wear glasses. Shit. And she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's like, she's like a hipster
kid. There are every ugly female comic that's working today does the like, do you want to see this face? Yeah. And then does like a raggy, lagging water. Look at this fatness. Like they do this over the top thing where they look. Mona's like, barking. What the fuck?
But I don't know who are we talking about? I just don't know.
I mean, I can't say their names.
No,
but,
and I don't want to either.
Yeah.
But
majority
ugly
of
female comics do that too.
Yeah, we do.
I'm so fat and fucking retarded and everything sucks. But that's just comedy. You can't be perfect. Nobody wants a perfect. Look at Mona is freaking. She's so cute now. She looks like an Ewok.
Mona, zip it. I'm shocked Leanne hasn't come out here.
I know. I thought we were going to interview her.
Should we call her in the house?
Yeah.
I'll call her.
Yeah, call her.
Let's take our first caller.
Fourth caller, please.
Dude,
we've been on for like an hour and a half.
Seriously?
Yeah. I don't want to. I can't do this.
Oh, fucking
it's
seriously?
Too long. It's too narcissistic.
What do you mean? How long
Dude,
are your podcasts?
I did Allison Rosen's.
Oh, I fucking love Allison Rosen.
Isn't she the best?
I would like to say, I would venture to say, in my opinion, I introduced, hang on. Everybody shut the fuck up.
Where's the?
No,
I love her. She's
I would venture
amazing.
To say I introduced her to the, what could be considered our group of friends.
What do you mean?
I think I might have been the first person to do her show. What are you doing?
No, you, and then you told her my name, and then she, but,
Here's
the thing. She goes, this is so long, we have to break it up into two parts, and I was mortified, because I felt like I had talked
to her. No, but it was probably a great interview. Oh, shit, I'm calling my house. I'm calling my house.
And the phone is right here.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was doing that.
Oh, my husband just landed. I have to go.
Hold on, let's bring Leanne in here for 2 seconds.
He just landed. Can I go pee? Can we pause it?
Hey, will you come into the man cave?
You're going to have to give me some time. I'm parenting something right now.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Okay, right. I'll be there soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
That sounds like some...
Guessing it's Isla. Go pee.
Yeah, I got to
go pee. I'm going to hit it on pause.
Okay.
I'm going to hit pause. Ready? Hold on 1 second.
The man cave needs a bathroom.
She's going to the bathroom. We're going to pick up in 2 seconds. All right, we're back. We just walked into my house, and we're having parenting issues, and that changed the focus of whatever we were talking about before.
Oh,
I have no idea.
Talking about being ugly? I don't think you're ugly. No, I really wish
I
you wouldn't
it.
Have said that.
Thanks. The
how many girls did you bang before Leanne?
Like 6, 7.
That's like my number, too.
Yeah, Leanne's is not that.
But don't you wish you kind
Leanne, of... I think Leanne was like I don't even know, but I think it was definitely double digits, like 10, 15.
Wait, but don't you regret that? I kind of regret that I didn't, like, because I was so afraid of things.
No, I don't regret it at all.
Really?
Yeah, because it's who I am. It's the
That's
reason.
That's true. I don't
it's
think I
the number
been.
One reason I that you'll never find me sexually harassing someone, because I don't I don't go into a workplace and think everyone wants to fuck me. Like, that's what, you know, that's the dudes who sexually harass think that everyone wants to fuck them. I don't do that.
No, but I'm just saying that I was so afraid of stuff. I kind of wish that I could, like, in my 36-year-old brain now, like, go back. Because you imagine having your brain now and your 20-year-old body? How fucking awesome you would be?
I'd be dead. It defines who I am today, and it's why I don't cheat on my wife. It's why I don't.
Of course.
But those things that I wish I was more comfortable with when I was 20, and I wish I could just go out and just slam a ton of pussy.
Yeah.
Like, and I never could. I never could, and I never was comfortable with that. I was always shocked at, like, I was, as a younger man, I was shocked at how many people had sex with people they didn't know, but were really uncomfortable making new friends.
Oh,
like, that was like something that really kind of struck me odd, is that, like, these guys aren't cool with meeting new people, but they'll fuck strangers. Like, they'll put their dick in something. But, like, I remember trying to bring a friend over, and they're like, fuck, what the fuck? Why has he got to be here? And you're like, well, can't you just hang out with him? And he's like, well, I don't fucking know him. You don't bring him in. Like, come on, man. We got our group. I'm like, but you fuck other people. You could be intimately naked with somebody, but you can't like make friends with somebody. It always blew me away. So, like, I think it defines who I am today. But I don't know.
In a way, me too.
What's Tom's number?
Too nervous. I don't know. Do you know that he claims not to even know? He's such a fucking liar. He's such a liar pants, right? He may
not know if it's that if it's high.
He's such a liar, and he's like, oh, I had sex with. He doesn't even remember like who he's done it with or names. I'm like, then, how do you not know the name? Like, because I've done it with so few people that I know people's names. I know everything about them.
I slip up on like it's either 6 or 8 because there was a period of time where there was when I was trying to become more sexually adventurous, like in living in New York. I did have sex with like maybe one or two. God, I'll name them right now.
Not last names though.
No, Nicole, Alex.
That's Kristen. The girl, right? Okay.
Yeah. It was David, Kristen,
Mark.
There's this other girl that I don't remember her name. Tammy.
You don't remember her name because it was like a one-nighter or whatever.
No.
I've never even done that.
I've done that. And then I'm going to say this girl from Liverpool.
What?
Then this other girl.
Wow.
And then Leanne. Probably, yeah, 8. 8's my number.
Wow.
Girl from Liverpool. Her tongue couldn't extend out of her mouth because it was... Because she had that piece of skin that touched... You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
So the whole time, every time she kissed, it's just like... Like imagine touching your tongue to your bottom teeth and then not letting the tip of your tongue go out of your mouth.
That's disgusting.
That was fucking so gross. So gross. And we had been in a theme park the entire day. And she'd been wearing jeans. And it was the summer in New York. And then she was from Liverpool. So I don't think she really understood the...
So gamey down there.
Yeah. The whole concept.
Leanne Kreischer.
Go sit there and grab a mic for 2 seconds. So it's right behind the pillow. Let me make sure that when you speak, it's being heard. Go ahead, speak.
Hi.
Okay. Yep. Is this your first appearance on the podcast?
On yours, yes.
Wait, I'm sorry. What other podcast have you been on?
Your mom's house.
Pushes.
What? When?
Like back in the early days of your mom's house.
Really?
Over at Red Bands.
Mm-hmm. Brought really? The kids over.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was drunk. Yes.
Not shocking.
So we were talking about a number of people we've had sex with.
A number.
What's your number?
Never mind.
Well, I think I already told your number.
Oh, really?
Well,
what was my number?
16.
Awesome.
Wait, so it wasn't 16?
That sounds great.
Wait, was it more?
Sweet 16. Sounds fantastic.
Wait, was it more? Oh, I don't even want to fucking know. I don't even want to know.
16 it is.
Oh,
that's
shut
a good number.
No, it sounds like a fucking, sounds like a lowball number I'm getting from her. Sounds like it was a, I hate that. How many women do you think Tom's had sex with?
4. No, Tom was a dog. Push is not a dog.
Thank you. Do you know he won't even tell me, Leanne? He won't tell me his final number. He's like, I don't remember. I'm like, oh, that's so bad.
Oh, no.
That means bad things, right?
Either that or it's been so few.
Oh, bullshit.
I'm joking.
I remember when me, Tom, and Charlie were on that raft in Hawaii, and the two of you were talking, like, shut up.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
I remember it distinctly. I remember you guys connected so quickly.
I remember the rap, but I don't remember the talking.
I remember the two that you connected so fucking quickly when we were in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and Tom's like, this could be bad.
Why?
Because fucking women commiserating about their shitty men.
But we're not normal women.
No.
No, you're not.
We don't do that, though.
We're mostly boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why you and I get along so well.
Yes.
I remember you guys had the phrase making brown.
We still do, yeah. Making brown. That's all we talk about on your mom's house.
Yeah, you're like, you guys, I got to make brown. I'll be right back.
And Bert and I came up with the phrase of making white. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think I know what that is,
right? I can only one thing. What else can you make that's white?
It's whipped cream. We just go to our room and make whipped cream.
Hey, look, I cut out my eyeball. I made white. Oh,
that's so funny.
Tom just landed, and she's got to head down to the airport and go get him.
Wait, do you guys remember Dimberly?
Yes.
On that vacation.
Hold on. And I only say this. I can only say this. This is free ground because I've talked to Russell about this.
Okay.
So Russell Peters brought a girl on vacation named Kimberly that I think we did you guys come up with a nickname?
I don't remember either. But it was perfect.
It was she was a girl that Russell would roll his eyes at a hundred times.
Did.
She was smoking fucking hot.
Yeah.
But she was wrong. I remember the first things I said first words I ever met out of her mouth. Sit down at a table, I'm having a drink, I see Russell I hadn't seen since Edinburgh with Patrice, right? And I said, and he goes, "Hey, Bert, it's good to see you again." I said, "Hey, Russell." And then he says, "This is my girlfriend, Kimberly. She was Mexican." And I said, "Oh." I said, "Oh, cool." I said, "Are you Indian?" She goes, "No, everyone thinks I'm a fucking Indian. I'm not." And I'm like, "Oh, you're kind of sitting with one. I wouldn't call him a fucking Indian."
Right.
But then, remember we went on the Pearl Harbor cruise?
Oh, my God.
We get on the boat. We get on the boat. And we all sit down. And she goes, "So, does this thing go underwater?"
That's right.
It's an open air fucking boat.
Does this thing go underwater? But bigger.
And Russell goes, "No, it's a goddamn boat. It doesn't go underwater." She goes, "Well, they've got these flaps, and there were flaps in case it rained that you could zip so you didn't get rain." And he goes, "They're plastic. You think this thing is a submarine?" And the captain was like, "No, ma'am, this is not a submarine. This is a boat. We will be staying on top of the water."
She says,
She goes, "Then how are we?" He was a rear admiral of the fucking United States Navy.
Exactly.
He said, she goes, "Well, then how are we going to see the ships?"
Yes.
I'll never forget.
No, and the best part, she goes, "Well, why don't they just bring the ships up?"
Yeah.
Remember? Like,
That trip was so much fucking fun. Dumb. That's when I fell in love with Clayton.
He's the best.
Clayton,
hands down.
And his wife.
Fucking
adorable.
Clayton was, do you remember the night we were all sitting, we were having drinks, and I said to them, I go, everyone just sits down. But I had been there with Tom, I think, earlier having a drink. But everyone sits down. Clayton, his wife, Russell, his chick, both of you guys. And I go, "Hey, do you guys ever watch, there's like one Indian porn star. Have you guys ever seen her?" And Russell kind of starts going like, "Oh, God, please stop." And Clayton starts going, Clayton, to paint the picture, looks like the kind of guy that would own a rickshaw shack. Like, he's just cherubic, and he's like, he's got a business sense about him. He's got glasses on, so you know he's smart, but he's big, and he's got big cherry cheeks. Like, and he starts
adorable.
Going, he starts going like, and like laughing, and he's trying to hold it in. I go, "No, she's smoking hot. She's a porn star, but she's Indian, and she's like the only Indian porn star." And Kimberly fucking goes white, just like, and Clayton's going, and he's punching Russell in the leg. He's going, and Tom starts going, "Wait, I think I've seen her." Tom goes, "She's fucking hot as shit. She is really hot. I've seen her." And Russell's like, "Are you talking about whatever her name is?" And I go, "Yeah, that's her. She's so fucking hot. Yeah, have you ever seen
all
her?"
All of us were like, "She's so beautiful."
"Oh, she is beautiful." And then Russell goes, "It's my ex-girlfriend." And I went, "Oh, you dated her?" And he goes, like, "Yeah." And she goes, like right before me. And then Kimberly gets up and walks away. Russell stands up to follow her. And Clayton goes, "That was the best moment of my life." Oh, fuck.
Yep.
I hung out with them. And we all hung out together in Amsterdam.
Yes.
What did you think of your set in Amsterdam?
I loved it. I think that was good. Only because I learned from the night before people were bombing. Ugh. And they're like, "Just don't rely on the audience to react because they don't speak English as a first language."
Yeah.
So it was like kabuki stand-up. I loved it. I thought it was fun. You did a tremendous job.
They both loved you.
Yeah, it was great. It was fun. It was really fun.
I love working with Clayton Peters.
Yeah, he's awesome. And Emma's rad too, his wife.
Yeah,
really
Emma's fucking...
She's wonderful.
They're just good people.
I love Russell, man. I heard he had a New Year's Eve party that was fucking insane.
I wasn't invited.
Like tigers roaming around.
I wasn't invited.
Like a Mike Tyson.
I was in Valley Village.
So what is the over-under on Tom wanting to have sex tonight?
Oh. Okay, when Tommy comes home, he needs to discharge the barrels immediately. Like, it's
wait,
full.
Did you come up with the term milking the snake? Or is that Leanne?
Oh, I don't remember.
I got to get the poison out of the snake.
The poison, yeah.
Yeah, I got to milk the snake.
I always say he has to plant a seed.
Yes.
Got to plant the seed.
Immediately, yeah. Right? Like, when he comes home, does Bert just, like...
Uh-huh. His dream come true would be me
Well, I can tell you. I can tell you right now. Like, no. Let me point it out to you.
Ready.
No. What I want is just God. You. Like, I want to walk through the door. I want to go, hey, everyone.
So excited. My father-in-law is probably going to listen to this. Hi, Al.
No, he's not. You think my dad listens to fucking this podcast?
Hi, Mr. K.
He didn't listen to his podcast. He's like, people like that? And I was like, yeah, people like you and Joey. He's like, well, we should do another one. And I was like, let's keep what we got.
But what's your fantasy? Because I'm curious to hear what other people.
Can I tell you what to do tonight?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I already made him shake and bake. There's shake and bake chicken waiting on the oven for him. Isn't that enough? I'm a good wife.
It should be enough. It should be enough.
Can I please? God. I will fucking get the clean program to sponsor it. Can we get him to do the same cleanse I did and see how much weight he loses?
What's wrong with shake and bake? It's real clean healthy. Program. It's not right.
It's a shake.
I will fucking find the people. They will sponsor it. And
yes,
Tom
I
will
would...
go on their let's billboard. And let's see what Tom, what's he weigh like right now? 320? How much does he weigh right now?
You know, actually, he's lost a lot of weight in this last year. He looks great.
He looks a lot better.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's probably still around 240.
I don't know men's numbers. Men's weights mean nothing to me.
I want to get the clean program. I'm going to hit them up. If you're listening, anyone tweet the clean program. It's at clean program on Twitter. And Tom's going to be the poster boy to show just how great this thing is. It's fucking amazing. They're not a sponsor, but I'm telling you right now, it's one of the greatest things I've ever done for my fucking life.
All right.
So now wait. So this is what you do. This is what my dream is. I come in, Leanne, we say hi to the girls. Everyone says hi. And then I sit on the couch.
No, that's not really. Let's be honest.
Hold on.
The dream is the girls are like asleep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, the girls are asleep. Girls are asleep, so I can't be a dad. Oh,
exactly.
I'm so bummed out.
Exactly. That's your dream.
So
let's
bummed out that
just
I can't
just
hang out with
totally
my family.
Honest. Ground zero.
Girls are asleep. I got a late flight. They got delayed. I'm really drunk because there was whiskey in the car driving home. Okay.
See? Now we're at ground zero.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
I walk in the house and she is in something kind of sexy, like Leanne sexy, like sweatpants and a tank and a white beater, but with no bra on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Leanne will look dashing in that. She's beautiful.
That's a change.
Clean program. Leanne did the clean program. She's the skinniest you've been, what, how long? Like, she looks amazing. I'm not going to say your weight, but you're at your fighting weight.
Not quite, but close.
Yeah. So,
I want
to
do it.
Wife beater?
Awesome. You know I'm done. You have to send it to me.
Sorry.
It's all right. Email it to me. Yeah. Email. Yeah.
Wife beater, sweatpants, and I come in. She gives me a hug, and she helps me get all my bags in. And then I sit down on the couch.
Helps you bring your bags
I
in.
Sit down on the couch, and she. And
who's
she,
the dude in
She comes into the living room with a beer in her hand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's already opened.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
She hands it to me.
That would be a problem.
She hands it to me and says, and then sits on the couch. She sits like sideways. Do you know what I mean? Like this. Like describe what I'm about to do. She does this. Like
side saddles it. Okay. So she's facing you. Like her crotch is facing you.
Right. And then kind of leans up on the couch. And then she just was one quick move. Hand in the pants. Just flunk. And I go, And then that is how you start it. See, that's all I want. Like, just like when you talk to me and I listen and that gets you turned on.
But let me refresh your memory. Do you remember being served like a subpoena?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And how did that work out for you?
Well, it caught me off guard, Leanne. It's like training for jiu-jitsu your entire life. And then you get into a fight and you're like, I forgot how to fight.
Okay,
like,
Bert has a joke where he says, why can't a blowjob be like a subpoena? He just walks in and blows you and goes, you've been served.
That is not the joke for
that
the record.
That is the joke.
I like the version better.
You've been served.
That's the joke. Okay. So for, was it Valentine's Day or something like that? I served Bert.
It was President's Day.
It was not. He got so nervous. He did not like it. It didn't work.
It was too awkward, yeah? Because the fantasy is probably better than the reality of a subpoena.
Wait, can I tell you an aggressive story that is weird to share with your wife? But I will say this. There was a girl I dated one time, and I told her my fantasy was to get a blowjob while I was sleeping. I thought that would be, I thought that would be a cool thing. I didn't know. I was fucking a kid. I was a kid. So I told her that my fantasy. I was in college, and she tried doing it. And I punched her in the head because I got scared. Someone's got my dick in her mouth. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I started punching her. And she was like, what? I thought it was your fantasy. I was like, oh,
you
sorry.
You punched her in the head?
I punched her in the head. I punched her in the head. If it's any consolation, she fucked my best friend. So I think we're even.
Oh my
so,
God.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So what should Push do for Tom tonight?
Yeah.
I would come home and go.
Shake and bake. Just... Did I mean shake and bake? Okay, no, no, no. I fucking went to Ralph's. I got the chicken. And then
okay.
the shake
chicken,
and bake.
Chicken, not pork.
Chicken, okay. Yeah. And then I made the shake and bake. It's hot on the oven right now as we speak. Like, it's fresh. I just made it before I came here.
Oh, you're going to walk in on, you're going to walk in on, you're going to roll in like Goldilocks, but the bears are still there.
The bears. Okay, so what should I do then?
By the way, I retweet anything that has a bear picture of
yeah,
me and Tom in there.
It's phenomenal.
Always.
It's my favorite
fucking
thing.
Love it. Yeah. You ever hear that story?
Never.
Me and Tom are going to do a podcast called Two Bears, One Cave. What was it called? Two Bears, One Cave. And but it started with the premise of we would love to be gay because we'd like to try to wrestle and fuck each other. anyway, I would come home and I would be like, this is ready? Go in.
Okay.
And go. It's hot in here, right? And then start taking off clothing. What?
I would never do that. I would never.
And then
it's hot in here, huh? And then I take off
my
clothes.
Don't do it like Roseanne.
It's hot
in here, huh? No. But then go and then just put like just be like just be like. Like throwing something really clat, like scantily, like something like a wife beater with no bra on, and then just sit up on him a lot and just watch him just purr. He'll just start going. It's what guys want. Just walk in the house and go, like, are you up for sucking cock? I'm totally up for sucking cock.
Who here was to suck a dick?
Hey.
Before or after your shake and bake? Would you like it before or after?
You have to have sex before you
if
eat.
If you really
yeah.
love your man, you let him eat shake and bake during.
Oh my God.
I remember one time.
Oh God.
One of my buddies told me he got a blowjob. He goes, it was Valentine's Day, and he goes, man, she took care of me. I was like, really? He goes, yeah. She gave me a blowjob. She let me have a dip in.
What is that?
A dip. It's like chewing tobacco. And
ew.
I was like, that's yeah. I mean, you're not using your mouth for anything. For what? Yeah, why not?
Don't you have to spit, though?
Yeah, but I guess he did. But that. Oh, wait, the girl or the guy?
Possibly both.
So silly.
I hope to God people don't like Leanne on the podcast. They're like, put on every one of them.
Can I tell you something? They're going to love her so much. And I was just thinking that. I'm like, oh, his listeners are going to love hearing Leanne.
I'll start my own podcast.
She's going to be so much more popular.
What would you call your podcast? What would you call your podcast?
Hot Mama in the Summertime.
Hot Mama in the Summertime. There you go, Leanne.
Bert, they're going to love...
Guys, someone buy that domain name real quick.
They're gonna...
I guarantee you it's open.
They're going to love Leanne so much more than you.
No, because her accent.
Oh, my God.
That redneck accent.
What? She's
I wouldn't call it
Southern
redneck.
Belle.
Southern Belle?
Yeah.
No. Leanne is a redneck. When we first moved... You know, this is my favorite. This is what made me love Leanne. What?
I don't know what you're going to say.
Are you getting nervous?
No, I have no idea.
When I'm
first,
getting nervous.
When we first went to meet her dad for the first time,
she was like... But it wasn't about my dad.
No.
Okay.
No. She goes, I said, where are we staying? She goes, we're staying with my dad. I'm staying with my daddy. Say it. How do you say dad? Daddy?
Daddy.
Yeah. I stay with my daddy. And I said, okay. She goes, I just need to give you a heads up. Like... He lives in this convenience store. Is that like she was nervous that I would be judgmental? And for a second, I was like, "Wait, lives in a convenience store? What the fuck do you mean?" Then we go in the place called Kemp's Corner. Is it in Bowden?
That's so cute.
And he lived. Okay, tell me this isn't your fucking dream. He lived in the fucking beer cooler. Like there was, he had sectioned that area off. It was a huge area. It was a huge area. But it was attached to the fucking refrigerator. There were no windows. It was pitch black. When you went to sleep in there, it was freezing cold. It was pitch black. It was the perfect place for me to sleep. I was like, I fucking love this place. And when you woke up in the middle of the night and you were thirsty, you were in a fucking convenience store. You could get Diet Cokes, candy bars, anything you wanted was right there. I was like, this is the fucking best.
Pizza maker.
The biggest thing that bummed me out was when he sold that goddamn store because, man, I fucking love. You'd wake up in the middle of the morning. Swear to God. Boxers, just walk out, get a cup of coffee, get a fucking biscuit, go back into bed.
Really
it was the greatest.
This.
I was, I love that
loved
place.
It. My dad had a king size bed, a big screen TV, a recliner, and a couch. And that was it.
I slept on the couch. Leanne slept on the floor. Her dad slept in the bed. You could watch. It was freezing fucking cold in there because it was attached to the freezer.
Cooler, yeah, right?
It was right behind the beer cooler.
Do you know
it was summer in Georgia. It's probably awesome, right?
Yeah. And you had a little heater in the winter.
One of my biggest panics is running out of beer.
Right, in life.
Never happened there. Oh, I remember him. I remember saying to him, like, I remember the first night we were there, I was like, he was like, y'all good? And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, that's not her dad. Her dad, when her dad talks, you'd have a hard time. Like, he's first of all, he's quiet.
I've never met him. I've only
he's
heard
quiet.
About him.
He's a quiet man. He's like definitely I'm a 10 on the scale of personality. Like, meaning like I throw it out in your lap, and like her dad's like a 2. He doesn't need to talk to you. But if he knows you, he'll talk to you. And so he was like, y'all good? I was like, yeah, I'm great. And he goes, you don't want nothing? I was like, no. And he goes, you sure? And in my head, I was like, kind of want a beer. And he was like, well, go get a tall boy. And I was like, what? And he goes, go grab one. I was like, I'm sorry. This is the greatest dream I've ever fucking had.
14
I have,
tall boys later. He's like, ugh.
Oh,
he's
like, I had so much fun in that place. I like going back to a place. You should come down to the lake one time. You'd love it.
Yeah, I like the South. I don't know much about it still. Like, I'm doing Alabama pretty soon. Oof. The Stardome. Have you done that one?
The Stardome.
No. Where, I want to,
where
though.
Where in Alabama?
I fly into Birmingham, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I know that's not obviously the same as Georgia. But...
No, it's pretty sad. Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Well, things are changing drastically. I think Alabama in the 80s was very different than Alabama now. I mean, I know for, I mean, maybe it isn't.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't been there. I mean, we just go to the lake and leave, so I don't spend any time. Like in
the lakes in Alabama.
Community.
Oh. Yeah,
so we go to Alabama. We go to Alabama. But it's a dry county. I mean, we had to like hide beer.
It's no alcohol.
Well, I don't know if I can come. What do you do?
We bring alcohol.
I drink a lot.
We bring alcohol.
You can't get caught with it. If you get caught with it, you get arrested for bootlegging.
What?
Yeah.
She said her uncle got arrested for bootlegging.
My uncle got put in jail for bootlegging because he had a 12-pack of beer in his trunk. And he was driving to the lake. And they pulled him over and found the unopened 12-pack of beer in his trunk, and they put him in jail for bootlegging.
For bootlegging. That's a crime I'll go down with. TMZ, put me up. Bert Kreischer, bootlegger. You fucking kidding me? I'm not going to walk around with Dowie with a 12-pack of beer and be like,
I dare you.
Yeah, the lake's fucking gorgeous.
You
and Tom should come down. Her family, you'd fucking get a kick
out of her family. I've never been to a lake because I grew up here in the San Fernando Valley. Like, to hang out on a lake and do things on a lake, I've never done that.
That's
ever.
Just crazy. It's really fun.
What do you guys do, though? Like,
jet
what
ski,
do you do?
Ski, fish. I write during the day.
Swim.
Write. I just sat and wrote all fucking day. It's great. And the thing about it being a dry county is, like, a lot of the times, not recently, but before, I wouldn't bring alcohol down, and I would sleep great. You get all your – you go out and work out. You have a fucking great time. And, sunset is one of my favorite moments down there.
It's
gorgeous.
It doesn't look anything like anything out here. I mean, it's so green. It's really hilly. And the lake is just – it's crystal clear.
There's something to be said for Southern hospitality, too.
Yeah, like, there's
you get into
so
a conversation.
Nice.
You get into a conversation with a person that works at a fucking – gas station. Like, you go to the gas station in the corner, that mm-hmm. little bait shop. Mm-hmm. I've been in there. I jog there.
Which is bizarre because it is an Indian family that runs it, and they all have Southern accents. Very bizarre.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you end
the dad,
up,
mom, dad don't, but the two kids do. They
guys, I have to
call
my husband's.
Okay.
Here.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
I wish Tom was here.
I do too, you guys. He just landed, so. Oh, he's in the cab. All right. I haven't seen him in days.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I leave tomorrow.
I gotta go.
I leave tomorrow to go fucking work.
Where are you going?
I'm going to New York for a couple days and then going to Miami and then Jamaica.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do a podcast.
Jamaica.
I'm doing a podcast.
I know. Leanne's
so
like,
for
I
everyone that's
to
listening to this podcast still, which I'm shocked if you are.
Shut up.
No, I'm shocked that you are.
It's
a, no, it's,
one,
it's a two-hour podcast.
God damn it. I always end up doing this with people. I'm so mortified.
I love them. I love them. Push. For the record, we're going to do a family podcast, me, you, Tom, and Leanne.
That's a great idea.
Let's do it.
Wait, when do you
want to
do
that.
It? When do you want to do it? Let's do it.
Hey, I'm here every day.
I'm in February. I'm
crazy people who travel. I'm here every day.
I have to look at the thing because Tom and I are, you know, both on the road.
I'm in February. I'm home. I'm doing one.
So cute.
I'm going to do one from Jamaica with my crew. I've been doing ones with my crew. But it's so hard because, you know, there's an openness about comics that we share everything.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because sometimes my, like, you can totally hear them being like,
what was that?
It was Isla.
Oh, naked.
What's the matter?
Oh, okay.
I thought someone was fucking choking. Jesus naked. Christ. She ran out here naked. Yeah. Like, let's just point this out. She ran out
naked. Naked time. Push, you know, it's naked
Is
time.
Is it still naked time?
Naked time, baby.
I didn't know.
She came sprinting out naked like that girl in that picture from Vietnam. Like, that's what she looked like. She did.
Napalm burned.
Yeah, but she came running out like nothing panicked. Like that. Mona like got that. Attacked by Priscilla. I thought Georgia had choked. Aww. That's the problem with being a parent, Brit. Push, beautiful. That you don't want to deal with is the freaking... The catastrophe is right around the corner.
If that's you're what a catastrophe thinker.
Wait, but that's what I fear is that they're going to die any minute. Like babies and stuff.
You can't think like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
You're a philosophy major. Anyone that's had a baby. You should know you can't think like that.
Anyone that's had a baby, totally that first week when you have them home, you look in their crib like, are they alive? Like it's a terrifying feeling.
I didn't do that.
Well, yeah, because,
But how do you not do that? Like, because my thing is like, are you breathing? Are you moving? Are you?
Because they are. Push. It's such a small percentage of children who.
Me and you have
who
that.
Don't make. You know what I mean? It's
push. Me and you have that long strand DNA.
No, I think I'm the one with the long strand DNA, redneck voice and all.
I got that long strand DNA. Push. Is there anything you want to promote?
Oh yeah. When is this going to drop?
I'm going to post it tonight.
Oh, yeah. Fucking come see me at the Atlanta Punchline this week.
Oh, you're in Atlanta?
Yeah, buddy.
I should know that. I have still have a bunch of friends in Georgia.
You should have your fucking family go out, Leanne.
25th through 27th, and then January 31st through February 2nd, comics at Foxwoods Comedy Club and Bar in Mashantucket, Connecticut. I'm supposed to say it like that. And then February 7th through 10th, the Stardome in Alabama.
Damn, you're doing a southern tour.
I know.
You busy.
I don't have anything to promote because I am doing Trip Flip for the next 2 weeks. But there's a guy who's got a new show on Travel Channel. His name is the name of the show is Edge of America. He's a really nice guy. He emailed me the other day. So everyone check out Travel Channel Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. It's called Edge of America. As always, just tune in to Travel Channel. I don't know why. As always, I just said that for the first time. I might even edit that out. No, I won't. I'll just post it. Just tune in. I love the network. Tune in.
Do I get
of America.
To promote something?
Liam, yeah. Liam, what dates do you have coming up?
I don't have any dates, but I have these awesome t-shirts or cog shirts.
Yes, that's my wife. That's why I married her.
So just go to burrburr.com and purchase because I will be the person folding them and stuffing them in an envelope. You're welcome.
On your order form, ask is if there's anything you want out of our house. We can just put it in the envelope too.
Oh, shut up.
There you go.
Leanne, if you want a personalized note from Leanne.
Oh, Bert.
Put it on the order form. Can they put it on the order form?
No. I don't know. I don't know. It's through PayPal. I don't know.
See if you can put it on the
order. There's probably a special note section, but why would I even say that?
Oh, look. Now
Never mind. There's no special note. No special note.
If you want a special note from Leanne.
Buy Girl Scout cookies. Buy Girl Scout cookies.
Buy Girl Scout cookies. That's a good
one. Buy Girl Scout
cookies. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Buy Girl Scout cookies. All right. Okay. So this has been our podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bert and Leanne. It was fun.
Thanks for coming, Push. Should I wrap us up?
Yeah.
Take us out, Leanne.
So go see their shows in whatever place they said they should go see them.
Leanne did it.
Perfect. That's why I married her, everybody.
I'm here every Thursday night. Every Thursday night.
You're here every night.
Okay, every night. Every night.
I almost don't want to end it now. Killing, Leanne. You're killing.
I'm killing. You've been served.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.